Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
All right, today's Friday, February 21st. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a barricade situation ended with a police-involved shooting in Doylestown. The standoff began at 9 p.m. last night in the area of Shady Retreat Road and Limekiln Road. Police warned residents to shelter in place, but by 10:30, the order was lifted and authorities said the threat to the community was over. Medics could be seen surrounding a shirtless man on the front yard of a home. He was placed on a stretcher and taken by ambulance from the scene. His condition was not released. Just before midnight, authorities confirmed there was a police-involved shooting. It's not known if the suspect fired at police. The DA's office would not confirm that information or give the police agency that was involved in the shooting. The district attorney's office said no police officers were injured. Police spent the night at the scene and focused their investigation on a parked car in the lot. It had been covered up for most of the night. It's a standard procedure for any police-involved shooting investigation in Bucks County to include the district attorney's office.
If you watch the series Cops, 80% of the guys they encounter have their shirts off.
Yeah. Seriously?
Yeah, 80%. Yeah.
Right. That's a big indicator.
Yeah.
So there's a Cash App debit card scam consumers should watch out for. Consumers are receiving the debit card in the mail that they never requested. Some of the reports in the Delaware Valley say the Cash App cards say that they're issued by Sutton Bank. The cards are part of a scam intended to steal your identity and your money, so do not do anything to activate them or use them, and certainly do not load money onto them. The cards are being opened using your name, social security number, date of birth, and address. A New Jersey resident got a Cash App card in the mail after his bank account was fraudulently debited, showing a number of Cash App charges. What you should do if you get the unsolicited card in the mail is first contact the card user, ask them to close the account, and send you confirmation in writing. Also, take a picture of the card for your records and then cut it up and throw it away. Mm. Also, be aware, Cash App does not have a publicly available support phone number, and no one representing Cash App will ever ask for you to sign in over the phone, via text, or social media. We are always working to protect our consumers, which includes educating them about potential scams. If you believe a Cash App account has been opened in your name without your knowledge, you can report it to them on their website, Cash App said.
You know how it's fraudulent. The chip on the card is actually a potato chip. And so you know immediately there's something up.
So some of the people that had this done, so they called the Sutton Bank. They gave the number on the back of the card, and the card was opened in their actual name, their date of birth, their address.
That's wild.
Yeah, so I guess they're looking for them to use it and then maybe add some money to it or whatever. But they're just saying make sure that you take precautions, call the bank, close it, take a picture of it so you have it for your records, but cut it up and throw it away, and definitely don't put any money on it.
Wow.
So we've had this discussion before in the past. Can you get some sort of payback from PennDOT if you hit a pothole with your car and it causes damage or injuries?
Well, oh, my God.
I've done that so many goddamn times. So 6ABC did an investigative report, and they found that PennDOT has paid out $0 in the past 3 years.
So the answer is yes, you can get money back. $0.
Telling you, man, we were going to Parks to do an event, and I was getting off at the Easy Pass exit of Street Road.
Yes.
And
I know
exactly
what you're
they were doing
about.
Some repairs or something like that. It was repair work. It wasn't a pothole. It was repair work. They had a big chunk they had taken out of the...
Taken out.
Boom! I hit that thing flat immediately. I have these run flat tires on my car. Oh my God, are they expensive? Insanely expensive.
What are they, like $500-$600 a tire?
Oh, they're more than that.
Oh, they're more,
what,
okay.
It's stupid. I have them because I drive the Schuylkill Expressway, and if I get a flat tire, I want to be able to drive to get off of the highway
right.
I don't, potentially get killed trying to change my tire. So that's why I pay the extra money for
them.
Sure. And I've had it happen, actually saved my ass a few times. But it was complete. It was the Department of Transportation, man. They got to,
they're doing work.
Of course, I never followed up on it like an idiot.
Right. So, well, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter, right?
Anyway. Yeah, records.
If you had followed up, you would have gotten $0, Preston.
So records show that drivers have submitted more than 2,100 claims to PennDOT for pothole-related vehicle damage on state roads over the past 3 years. The Commonwealth hasn't paid one penny for repairs. Whether you get reimbursed for damages depends on where the damage occurred, and in some states, whether you've been injured. So while PA says that it will pay for injuries caused by potholes, they haven't paid anything in the past 3 years.
Have they paid for any injuries?
So I don't think so.
So, of course, yeah.
Right? So Troy Thompson is the Pennsylvania Department of General Services, which handles claims for PennDOT. And he was asked why the state has a claim site on its website when they just get denied. Thompson said, well, everyone has the right and opportunity to file a claim. We cannot tell individuals not to. Like many states, Pennsylvania claims sovereign immunity. Simply put, governments are free from civil liability.
And they're saying everyone has the right to file.
Governments are free from civil liability?
That's what it says.
It was years ago when I was on my way to, we had a Subaru broadcast, and I hit a pothole on 95. The pothole was the size of a baby pool. It was it was huge. And
Getting around it.
No getting around it. It was like, boom. And so I, you know, obviously had a flat tire. I thought I'd done some really bad damage to the rim and stuff that. And now I'm like, you know, I had to drive over the Girard Point Bridge with a totally flat tire because I'm like, I'm not going to change a tire on the bridge.
Nope.
You know, I got to be safe about this. But
and you know that feeling like when you hear that big hit and you're just like,
here we go. And then if you have any sort of sensor device in your car that lets you know your tire is, you know, that immediately pops up.
But so I did talk about that on the show. And that pothole was fixed that day.
See, you could make a change.
DelDOT has a similar policy, except for a one-mile stretch where the 95 toll plaza is located near the Delaware-Maryland state line. That section of the roadway is insured as a primary revenue generator for DelDOT. The state paid five claims over the three-year analysis. In New Jersey, the state pays pothole claims if the Department of Transportation has sufficient time to fix the pothole and did not. It paid 68 claims for roughly $15,000, but that's only 2% of all the pothole claims made over the past 3 years. Some states like Maryland and Virginia do pay for damage claims. The Virginia Department of Transportation says that it paid out a quarter of the claims that were filed last year, far more than the Delaware Valley. VDOT says the onus is on the driver to prove that the damage was actually caused by a pothole.
I'm more inclined to, for your situation, Preston, there was actual road work being done that caused your tire to go flat.
Yeah.
You understand that occasionally potholes pop up and they can't stay on top of everything. I'd even give that a little latitude. But when there's road work being done is causing tires to go flat, that's obviously their responsibility.
Yeah, what's the biggest culprit for potholes? Is it like snow removal? Is that like, because it always seems like after
the
snowstorms.
Like the permafrost and the temperature changing.
So VDOT says that a good piece of advice is to take pictures and obviously keep any invoices if you've taken your car to get fixed and things like that. All right, let's do sports this morning. In their first game after the All-Star break, Joel Embiid had 39 points and 16 rebounds. Alec Burks and Shake Milton added big baskets in overtime, and the Sixers continued their dominance at home with a 112-104 win over the Brooklyn Nets.
They did it!
Playing without Ben Simmons because of lower back tightness, the Sixers improved their record at home to 26-2. Burks had 19 points, including a pair of layups in overtime that gave the Sixers the lead for good. They're on the road tomorrow night with a game in Milwaukee against the best team in the NBA, the Bucks. Tip-off is set for 8:30. The Flyers also won in overtime, beating the Blue Jackets 4-3 last night in Columbus. Kevin Hayes scored with just over a minute left in overtime to complete a comeback with a 3-1 deficit and give the Flyers the win. Brian Elliott ended up with 28 saves in the win. The Flyers are back home tomorrow afternoon with a game against the Winnipeg Jets. The puck drops at 1 o'clock. And the Phillies won their arbitration case against All-Star catcher JT Realmuto. He will get a raise from $6 million to $10 million instead of his $12.4 million request. Last season, he was one of the best catchers in baseball, hitting .275 with 25 home runs and 83 RBIs, earning his second straight All-Star selection. And that's what I have for you this morning.
I thank you very much, Kathy. Speaking of the Flyers, we made an announcement yesterday that we're going to have a sorority party coming up at the Flyers next Tuesday. I'm not doing giveaways now. Don't let the music fool you. But I just wanted to tell you that at some point this morning, we will be giving away tickets. So listen up for your chance to win.
More limited spaces on this one. There's a quick turnaround, but it looks really cool where we're going to be.
We're going to have, like, We have like 75 people there, so it's not tiny by any stretch, but we got plenty to give away, so your chance to win. We'll do that in a little while. Listen up for your chance to grab those. We also have our Word of the Week prize, which is another Flyers thing, a pair of lower-level tickets to the game coming up April 2nd against the Predators. So that's only two letters. You already got the first one. Next one's coming up at the end of the program. We will give that away today. Guest-wise, we will have joining us today John Heffron, who will be at Helium Comedy Club. So he's going to stop in. He's got shows tonight and tomorrow. And then we've got some of our friends from Nerd Street Gamers stopping by.
Cool.
We'll get those details about an event on the way. Godshall's Turkey Bacon is stopping by today. So we'll have plenty of turkey bacon to give to you on top of all of that. And these things with the Cardboard Classic looming, that's coming along very soon. Yeah. And a bunch of other events, too. So just stay close and keep going to the website, PrestonandSteve.com, to get the details on events and parties and giveaways and all those good things that we have on the way. Let's take a break, come back in a second, and we'll do a stupid question, the entertainment report, lots of stuff to get to there. So stay close. We'll be back in just a moment.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Oh, mama! All right, so stupid question this morning. Going to give away a pair of tickets to see Pauly Shore, Punchline Philly, April 10th, the 9:45 show, 21 and over. So it's another Black History question. Our buddy Craig sent over these questions. How about this? From WKRP in Cincinnati. What was Venus Flytrap's real name? Not the actor. But Venus Flytrap was his air name.
That's right.
And so he had his, you know, his birth name for the character. What was his name? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. Give us a call. I have a huge stack of birthdays today. So if you celebrate a birthday today, February 21st, you're in good company. We'll start with Ellen Page, the actress.
Yeah, she's good.
33 years old today. Yep, she absolutely is.
The Umbrella.
Yeah, Umbrella Academy. Oh, my God. I have no idea when that next episode or when that next.
I know it's ready to go. I know it's ready to go. Yeah, yeah, anytime. And I, after, because of your recommendation, you guys talking about it, you know, I'm always reticent. I want to see if something has legs.
Yeah.
But I finally watched it, loved it.
Yeah. It's really unique.
It's really unique. Yeah.
She's 33 today. Jordan Peele, great director and actor,
producer,
comedy, drama, scary stuff.
Yeah.
Does it all. Yeah. He is 41 today. A guy who will be in town for the MMRBQ, Eric Wilson, plays bass for the band Sublime, and he celebrates his 51st birthday. So Sublime with Rome now that they really have to call themselves, but they'll be
playing. That's a good gig.
Yeah. Jennifer Love Hewitt is 41 today. Have not seen her.
She's actually on a lately. She's on a series currently, I
is
believe.
She?
Yeah, yeah, she? Who knows? She was in the Ghost Whisperer or something.
Yeah, but
like
then
that.
She was on, I think, 9-1-1 or some series like that where she is a... it's one of those procedural things. Mm. But the first time you saw her was in Party of Five, and she was sort of the... sort of, you know, less attractive girlfriend, or she had a crush on one of the characters on Party of Five, and then she blossomed.
Then she blossomed.
Yeah. And then she became,
boom.
Jennifer Love, huge tease.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. She's 41 today. William Baldwin, brother of Alec, Daniel, and Stephen, the star of the movie Backdraft.
Oh. Billy.
Is 57 today.
It's a good movie. It's a cheesy movie, but it's a good movie. And it still has some great firefighting sequences, though. Firefighters will say, where's the smoke?
Exactly. They go through these infernos, and you can see just fine. Yeah. I mean, it's hot and everything.
Hey, how are you over there? Yeah. We're doing great. Mm-hmm. Just fighting this major fire.
You were talking about rides yesterday, Steve. I remember the Backdraft ride
in
Universal and how hot that thing was. And there was
holy crap.
There was one part where the level you were on dropped, and it was probably dropped 2 inches or whatever, but it felt like it dropped an entire story. It was fun. It was intense.
It uses fire effects. Preston, did you do the Poseidon thing at Universal in Orlando?
I don't think I did the Poseidon
thing. So it's really cool. Long story short, though, there's a whole bunch of pyrotechnics, and you're pretty far away.
Yeah.
The second those go up,
Whoa! Yeah. I've been at concerts when they will hit the pyrotechnics, and you feel that blast of heat come on you.
Yeah, pre-Sixers game.
Yeah,
oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
You can feel that? Oh, you want to run.
In fact, we had done an event at a Sixers game. This is back when they needed help promoting the team when they weren't winning, and we were in a suite, and we could feel the heat in the suite.
Wow. I remember that.
So, hug a firefighter today.
Yes. There you go. William Baldwin, 57 today. Kelsey Grammer.
Is
65 today.
His performance, again, I mean, not to keep going off on Universal, but there's a Sideshow Bob thing on the Simpsons ride, and he's so funny as Sideshow Bob.
Hey, I have a question that like Casey, I've wanted to ask forever, but have been too afraid to ask. Has anybody ever actually had tossed salad and scrambled eggs?
No. I had a hot Carl one time. With waffles.
I can't say that I've ever, other than the theme song to Frasier, have ever heard or seen on a menu tossed salad and scrambled eggs.
Didn't he write that song, too?
I don't know. Nick, I think it's something that he constructed. I don't think it's a thing.
Okay. All right.
He's a ham and egger.
He's 65 today. Anthony Daniels, who plays C-3PO in the Star Wars movies.
Been in every one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only person who's been in all of them.
Hello, sir. I am C-3PO Human Cyborg Relations.
He is 74 today. David Geffen, legendary record executive. We were just talking last week about that house of his that sold, most expensive house in the state of California.
The one that Jeff Bezos purchased, correct?
Yeah.
So, what is it, $155 million?
Something ridiculous. Yeah. He's 77 today, so he's done pretty good for himself. William Peterson, the actor, he played Grissom on CSI, and he's been in loads of movies throughout the years.
Manhunter,
great movie.
If you've never seen that, it's the first time you see Hannibal Lecter on screen, and it's a great movie.
He's 67 today. From the world of Twilight, Alice Cullen. She played Alice Cullen. This is Ashley Green's birthday. She's 33.
Very attractive.
Steve, I brought this one up because I saw this last second. Charlotte Church.
Oh, my God.
The Welsh singer. She's 35.
No! She was a kid.
She was
a phenom.
A child, like 9 or 10 years old. And
she's older than we are now.
They used to run commercials for her.
Yeah, she's older than us now.
They used to run commercials for her. She has the voice of an angel.
Yeah.
Charlotte Church. She was an amazing, and still is an amazing vocalist. But for her age, she was unbelievable. She's freaking 35.
That's crazy.
We used to work with someone who insisted they had a singer. You remember one of our interns or assistants, Preston, who insisted she had a better voice than Charlotte Church. And you and I would just look at each other and go,
I don't remember who that was.
I don't remember who that was either.
But that's a little delusional.
We don't have any Charlotte Church in our Vox Pro, but we do have Charlotte Ray. So if you want to hear Charlotte Ray montage.
You said you had one 13-year-old daughter. You didn't say anything about two boys coming to live here.
Okay, Mrs. Garrett. oh, my God. Uh-huh. Okay. All right, I just saw the name. Oh, I just shivered. Charlotte Church is 35. The actress Haley Orentia. Who is here from the Goldbergs.
Yes, and we had A.J. Mashalka, who is with her, and they're best buds.
She's awesome. I don't know how old she is, though. I didn't see that.
I lost it, sorry.
26?
26, yeah.
26 years old.
She on that cool. show, she's so good. She's actually playing, they created the character of the sister. You know, there's another brother in the family, and she really rounds out the cast.
All right, what else we have here? Melanie Laurent, or Laurent.
Oh.
I don't know if that's how you say her name, but Inglourious Bastards.
Shoshana.
And she was also in Now You See Me. I kind of have a little thing for her. I have a little crush on her. She's really super cute. French actress.
Yes.
37. Sophie Turner, Game of Thrones, Sansa Stark. Is 24.
She's married to a Jonas, right?
And pregnant. They got a bun in the oven.
She's like 3 feet taller than her Jonas.
Yeah, she's statuesque. And I saved the last best because we were just talking about this individual. We had forgotten the name, but Prince Michael Blanket Jackson II.
Yeah.
Is 18 years old today.
What did we say last time why we couldn't wait for Blanket's birthday?
There are two princes.
To sing that blanket song from Bear in the Big Blue House.
Say?
I don't know why we couldn't wait.
It must have been on propofol. No,
well, we were just talking about that there were two princes.
Oh, no. It was the...
Two princes.
Oh, I know. It was that I was a pedophile who often slept with children.
That wasn't
no,
it.
It was the clip.
Was that it?
I think that was it. Mm. And I showed him my butthole all the
no,
time.
No,
that was it, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't
as
it.
As revealed in Leaving Neverland.
There we go.
When you say to you, go ahead and come in. I'll lock the door behind you. I'll show you my rectum.
Dear Lord.
Oh,
no, it'll pay off your parents.
Prince Michael Blanket Jackson II is 18. We're looking at a picture of
him. Looks like an intense kid.
Yes, he does.
I might be angry, too.
Don't talk about my father.
Yeah, he looks real intense.
My blanket. It's okay. It's okay. It's all right. I just asked if you wanted to look at my anus.
Oh, wow. You said what?
I just asked if you wanted to look at my anus.
I withdraw. Well, we know how to celebrate his birthday every
Happy
year.
Happy birthday, Blanket. Yeah. He's 18. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. What was Venus Flytrap's real name on WKRP in Cincinnati? 215-263-WMMR is the number, and we're going to go to Kevin. Hey, Kevin, good morning.
Morning. You guys rock.
Thank you, Kevin. All right, what was Venus Flytrap's real name, sir?
Gordon Sims.
You got it. Hang on. Gordon Sims. We're going to give you a pair of tickets to see Pauly Shore Punchline Philly on April 10th, 9:45 p.m., 21 and over show. You can get tickets for Pauly's April 10th and 11th shows at punchlinephilly.com, by the way. I have a lot of stuff to get to.
Let's sing the full song first.
But real quick, though, Marissa found the explanation for tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
Okay, here we go.
Composer Bruce Miller... who wrote the sitcom's theme, was asked to explain those puzzling, possibly salacious lyrics, tossed salads and scrambled eggs. His response, I was told to avoid any direct references to specific subject matter, so it was necessary to stay away from words about psychiatry, radio shows, the name Frasier, and anything else directly indicating aspects of the show. I called my friend Daryl Phineas, who is really talented and really smart. I gave him the idea of the show, and he called back with the idea of tossed salads and scrambled eggs. At first, I was a bit baffled myself until he explained that these were things that were mixed up like Fraser Crane's patients.
Oh, all right.
Okay. It's very cryptic. Right.
I thought it was going to be tossed salads and Dizzy Gillespie's.
Right. Yeah. No, it's not
rusty
all
trombones.
Yeah, not all sex things. But
Frasier's in the house.
So that was the motivation behind that. I thought it was just a dish that people ate. So that's weird.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on, and we'll start with some entertainment stories, and we'll begin with this one. Ben Affleck is opening up about his longstanding battle with alcoholism and the way it has impacted his family. He really doesn't do interviews about this stuff at all. In 2018, he went through rehab for the third time after Jennifer Garner staged an intervention. He relapsed again in October.
I'd like to apologize to Jennifer Garner and her pool boy, Ben Affleck, for incorporating them into my fantasy life.
With TMZ publishing shots of him looking drunk outside a Halloween party. He has since worked to get sober again. The 47-year-old tells Diane Sawyer in an interview that was released yesterday, said that he doesn't want his kids to pay for his issues after watching his aunt, grandmother, and father struggle with alcohol.
Yeah, they all had addiction problems. I did not know that.
Yeah, we have some clips, and I'm just going to play these because I have quotes, and then I have clips, and none of it matches up, so let's roll. Here we go.
I started to drink more and more and more, and it was really hard for me to accept that meant I was an alcoholic. I was like, I can just go back. I was fine before. You know, I just need to take a break. I just need to slow down. I'm okay. You know what I mean? This isn't me. And I start to drink every day. And I come home from work and I start to drink and I just sit there and drink till I pass out on the couch.
So he was hitting it hard. Mm.
He was hitting it hard. And if you watch the Jay and Silent Bob reboot, Preston, there was that scene that everyone talked about where he sort of riffs upon
Ben Affleck, where he is in life and what he cherishes. And it's done with a little bit of humor, but it's a guy who's finally hit a spot where he's like, okay, I know what I want the rest of my life to be. And that's what people are so touched about.
Wow. And then he talks about parenting being his priority.
I really don't want my children to pay for my sins. I took the last half of the year off and I just got to be dad. Drive them to school, pick them up, go to the swim meet. You know, just that's where the parenting happens. It's in the cracks. It's in the moments where you're just taking them back from soccer and they say something profound or they talk about how they're really feeling about something. That's where you get to be the parent. That's the joy of it. That's what I don't want to miss.
He's right about that, man. He also opened up about his horror over his split from Jennifer and the effect that it would have on their three children, Violet, Serafina, and Samuel. He said, I never thought that I was going to get divorced. I didn't want to get divorced. I didn't want to be a divorced person. I really didn't want to be a split family with my children. And it upset me because it meant I wasn't who I thought I was. And that was so painful and so disappointing in myself. Divorce and alcoholism, he said, are very painful. They just are. If there's something that your child is suffering, that's a level of pain that is not easily gotten past, not easily forgiven, not easily forgotten. And it's hard. You're not going to avoid causing your kids pain, all pain. Pain is part of life. I take some comfort in that, he said. But his latest movie, The Way Back, sees him playing a former basketball star who battled addiction and wants a career comeback, and that is coming out on March 6th. So that's part of the reason why he's doing these interviews, but he's opening up about his personal life.
Yeah, and this movie looks really good. Yeah. It looks like one of those, you know, like Hoosiers.
Yeah, we have the director in studio next week.
Monday. Oh, excellent.
Yeah. So good on him, and hopefully he can stay the course and you know, be who he wants to
yeah.
be. I hope so.
He's a talented guy.
Yeah. The obsessed ex of Drew Carey's former fiance, Dr. Amy Harwick, may face the death penalty, according to Page Six. Gareth Pursehaus was released Tuesday night after posting $2 million bail. We talked about that yesterday and the charge that he threw Harwick off the balcony to her death. Shortly after his release, which was greeted with widespread outrage, Pursehaus was arrested on a no-bail warrant, the L.A. County D.A. announced. He was charged with murder and first-degree burglary with the special circumstances of lying in wait for his victim, and that additional layer makes him eligible for the death penalty.
Is there... I thought they had done away with the death penalty in California.
Yeah, I don't know what the story is on that, Steve. The defendant faces, it says, according to the assistant chief D.A., Greg Riesling, the defendant faces the death penalty or life in prison without the possibility of parole if convicted as charged.
So the perception is this guy waited for her to get there so he could pitch her off the balcony.
That's what they're claiming, yeah. So
Jesus.
A decision on whether to seek capital punishment will be made at a later date. She had had a restraining order against him, but that had expired. So Drew Carey and his friends are pushing to get stricter domestic violence laws enacted in the wake of her death. Well, this is brave, folks, right here.
All right.
At her most recent dinner party, Gwyneth Paltrow made an unusual and definitively goopy request of her guest, no makeup.
Oh, my God. Wow.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. That is unbelievable.
What bravery these ladies
Interesting.
Have.
Interesting.
Demi Moore, Rumor Willis. Yes.
When it comes to true heroes, no one can rival one Gwyneth Paltrow.
So Demi Moore, Rumor Willis. Can I try again?
Yeah,
Demi
sorry.
Moore, Rumor Willis, Kate Hudson, Rachel Zoe, Aaron Foster, and Alexandra Grant, artist and girlfriend of Keanu Reeves, were among the attendees who ditched the concealer and still agreed to pose for selfies with the lifestyle maven.
And they
Holy
posted?
Crap, we're unpleasant
did.
Looking.
They did.
Jesus, we're not good looking.
Now we can hit it. She posted outtakes from the outdoors picnic, which included a feast of king salmon steaks, chicken with roast grapes, long-cooked kale, and sweet potato frites.
Mm.
She captioned the shots, no makeup, no filter, an amazing gathering of some of the best women on the planet Earth.
No
Hashtag
ads.
Goop Glow.
Yeah, Goop Glow.
We have an agreement on what to wear, like on certain occasions. If we're just going to somebody's house, it's like, okay, are we... getting dressed up, or can we wear sweatpants?
And right. I'm going to wear my Aquaman t-shirt.
No, but it'll be like sweatpants. This is a sweatpants night. Like with my neighbors, if we're going to someone's house, is it like, are you going to have other people there? Are there like other friends that I've never met that might be there? Okay, we got to get dressed up. If it's just us, sweatpants and a wine glass.
Go ahead. Don't you hate it when the message gets mixed up though? Because we went to a New Year's Eve party and I was told total
right.
cash.
Yeah, cash.
Completely
yes.
cash.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Literally, I'm wearing jeans and a t-shirt. I walk in, people are wearing dressy.
It was like black tie.
I'm like, dude. Yeah. No, it wasn't that one.
Oh, it wasn't. Oh,
no.
Wasn't that one?
Oh, I thought it was that one.
No, no. This, yeah. this was a different party. I'm like, seriously? I was told to be told completely
cash. And honestly, that's not your fault. And then you're left in, with the unenviable position of having to go around and explain, I was told.
Exactly.
I'm not disrespectful. I was told this was the dress code.
But she, Rumor Willis commented, such a lovely evening. Thank you for doing this.
So lovely.
So they go without makeup.
It's Coop-tastic.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. What else we have here? Love is in the air, just not the way Bachelor fans were expecting. Peter Weber was photographed out with show producer Julie LaPlaca.
What?
Uh-huh. And what looked
so
like...
So an actual employee on the show, not one of the Bachelorettes.
No. And apparently they were out at what looked like a date at a winery.
At a winery.
To Page Six.
Where they have wine.
Rumors of their romance have been rocking Bachelor Nation. LaPlaca was also spotted spending New Year's Eve with Weber and his family at Carmine's in New York City.
What the hell? So this is sort of tipping the hand on all that's going on. Do you remember that first season of MTV, Preston, it's happened subsequent times, where the cast members of Real World were banging crew members.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was in that first?
Yeah, the first season. It's actually happened a couple times. In fact, on Very Cavallari, she talked about having a relationship with one of the cameramen on the show.
Okay.
So, it really ruins the sanctity and honesty of the Bachelor.
Well, here's another one. Bachelorette alum and Gigi Hadid ex, Tyler Cameron. Has a new role. He's working as a general contractor on Quibi's Barkitecture.
I put a nail in my hand.
Yeah.
It hurts.
He and interior designer Delia Kenza.
Don't touch that, Raven, it's hot!
Are set to host the show, which involved building and designing lavish, customizable dog houses.
Oh, my God.
For pups of Hollywood stars like Lisa Vanderpump and Rumor Willis.
I builded it.
A doggy house.
Look at that. I builded it. It's got a car garage. It's a dog. All right.
So that's a show, gang.
Yeah.
Building
riveting.
Lavish dog houses for celebrities.
Does he have any sort of carpentry chops?
I guess he
does.
Or is
he just a good-looking guy they hand a hammer to?
I don't know.
Starts hitting himself in the head.
I watch a lot of HGTV. And,
is that you?
And, they're kind of giving shows to everybody. I mean,
yeah.
Vanilla Ice has his thing. It's
Vanilla Ice knows his stuff though. He's actually pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know if he actually knows his stuff or if, you know,
they're making it seem as, it's a point.
But, I just saw another one with Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade. They,
really?
They were flipping houses. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Flipping houses.
So here's the deal. They weren't doing it for profit. Whatever profit they made off the house, they donated to charity. I was like, well, that's cool.
Yeah, but, you just got to... Are they the ones really going in?
No!
Dwayne Wade was barely there.
Yeah.
Don't lie to us, Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
Don't you dare.
All right, the ladies of the First Wives Club are reuniting. That means Goldie Hawn, Diane Keaton, and Bette Midler are set to reunite, though it's in a comedy. It's not the same series. It's not the same...
movies?
...premise. So it's a comedy that has him dealing with the fact that they were all married to the same man. The movie, called Family Jewels, shows what happens when the trio is forced to spend Christmas together after their ex dies in a New York City department store.
Well, they play nicely together.
They do play nicely
together. I enjoyed that movie.
Amanda Bynes made headlines recently for getting engaged and sharing the news publicly after several years off of the radar. And now she's sharing a shot of herself, of her graduation from the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising in L.A., she said, and I quote, "Sup, Instagram.
Sup.
Just want to say hi to all of my followers, and I really wanted to say I appreciate you guys so much for supporting me. She said, I wanted to check in, let you know that I'm out to dinner right now with my friend Kathy, who's a student advisor from at FIDM, my college. And I'm really looking forward to starting my clothing line, and I'm hoping in the near future it'll be out online.
How old is she?
It's a good question. She's 33.
33. All right. She's had a lot of issues.
Yep.
She's under the care. I think they're still the power of attorney and everything rests with her parents.
Conservatorship.
Yeah. With her mom. So, well, that's the deal. But she also posted today a sort of lengthy apology to people. Remember, she was in the initial stages when everyone had said, oh, she's flat out crazy. She was calling people ugly online all the time.
Yeah,
that was
yeah.
her thing. And so she issued sort of a flat out apology saying she was on all sorts of drugs and having all sorts of mood swings and all that stuff. So hopefully she's doing well. She's a year sober, she says.
We're looking at a video of her. Nick, is that an actual tattoo on her face? Do we know?
I believe it's two tattoos on her face. I think the one above her eye is one as well. And she has that bad heart. I mean, it looks like I drew it on her cheek. And, yeah, she just posted this 8 hours ago. She's also disabled all comments on her Instagram account.
Okay. I'm going to have to see what that's all about. But, well, okay. What else we have here for you? Couple of projects in the works. RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars will appear on Showtime this summer in what the cabler is calling a special edition.
Are they actually going to drag race? With like full-blown hot rods?
Do that.
High heels and big hair.
With top fuel vehicles. giant wigs that are on top of the helmets that they ride in.
Strike a pose.
Yeah, I think that would be... That'd be a show to watch.
No helmets. No flame retardant gear.
Yeah. Wait a minute, Casey, do that again.
Why is China there?
I don't know.
Just getting that female. All right.
I want to hear that again. Hold on. As they take off, I want to hear China as they hit the gas. Hang on a second. No. And green.
Oh, man, that's a show we would watch.
The 8-episode season will bow June 5th and follow Drag Race's 12th season at VH1, which premieres February 28th. So that's happening. John Cusack is in talks to star alongside J.K. Simmons and Mark Polanski's dark heist thriller called My Only Sunshine. The film follows the story of a dysfunctional couple, a bank robbery gone awry, and a violent hostage negotiation. Project is set to begin in the spring. And then I saw this other project underway. I thought Liam Neeson was done doing action films. Didn't he say he was going to stop doing that?
Well, he was done doing that. Remember, he had that really bad press tour for the Mr. Plow movie?
Yes.
Which did not go well.
Well, listen to this. So fans are getting their first peek at Liam Neeson in the action rescue film The Ice Road.
Another one?
So they're still out there. Is this the same show? No, it's not. Okay, so Lawrence Fishburne is also starring in the story of a rescue mission over a frozen ocean to save trapped miners.
So they're going on a frozen ocean to save trapped miners?
I guess so.
Under the frozen ocean?
Yeah.
And are they fighting apes?
That Ice Road Trucker show. I mean, that's...
Basically.
That's what this is.
With Liam Neeson?
A special set of skills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It allows me to help miners trapped under frozen oceans. Especially when they're attacked by gorillas.
The Die Hard with the Vengeance and Armageddon writer Jonathan Hensley...
All right.
...is directing that. So. Hey,
The Mr. Plow movie, and I forget the actual name of it, but it's actually a well-done revenge movie.
Okay.
With a wry wit to it. In other words, it's sort of like a going body count that pops up on the screen.
Oh, really?
There was no indication of that when he was promoting the movie. He went into this dark thing about some sort of racial component to a revenge thing he was seeking. Do you remember all that?
Yeah, yes.
So that totally eradicated
that,
what was really sort of a dark comedy.
Really?
Yes, it is.
It was called Cold Pursuit.
Cold Pursuit.
So you saw it?
I saw it.
Worth seeing?
It's not bad. It's certainly not what you would have believed the way he was conducting those interviews.
See, I'm kind of a sucker for revenge movies.
I love revenge movies.
Did you see Peppermint, by the way?
Yes, I did.
I enjoyed it.
Again, that's a revenge movie with Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, there was,
And her pool boy, right. Ben Affleck.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we should get on to the movie's opening. Cause I'm sorry. I meant you thought I was going to say
what's going on here?
Not the Klimps. But we have a couple of movies opening, headed out to the theater. You need to know what to be looking for. We're going to start with this movie, The Call of the Wild. It's an adventure directed by Chris Sanders and his stars Mr. Harrison Ford. Also, Bradley Whitford, Karen Gillan, and a bunch of others.
Love Karen Gillan.
A man and his dog find the adventure of their lifetimes in the Alaskan wilderness. Rated PG. It is an hour and 45 minutes long, and it has a 72% at Rotten Tomatoes so far.
I don't think I gave this a fair shake, and I'm going to go see it this weekend with my dad. It's his favorite book of all time. He asked to go see it, and I'm going to take my son and my mom as well. And the cartoon dog is a little distracting, but I think the movie itself and Harrison Ford are supposed to be pretty great. So yep. I'm going to go in with an open mind on it.
The word, Nick, is that Harrison Ford brings that, you know, because I love this story. I love this book. I'm highly recommending this movie on Disney Plus called Togo. They decided to use an actual dog. Presuming that we all know what a dog looks like and would be thrown off by a CGI dog. But that aside and all this stuff, apparently it has a very heartfelt deal. So that's cool. It's just weird when you see the CGI dog sitting next to Harrison Ford.
Going, roar, hey, roar.
That opens today. Then you have Brahms, The Boy 2.
Oh, my God.
The second one.
Yes.
I saw The Boy 1. It sucked.
Did it really?
It was horrible.
But here's the deal.
I mean, in fact, the whole conceit of it ends up being nothing like what you said.
But Steve, all you need to get a successful horror film is a really good trailer with a creepy kid.
Yes.
And that'll get the tickets. And
from what I understand, it's the same cheat in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's. I don't want to give it away, but it's not what you think.
Okay.
Think of the most boring possibility of what this is, okay. And you're right.
Okay. All right, so it's a horror film directed by William Brent Bell, stars Katie Holmes, Ralph Ineson. Boy discovers a doll that brings terror to him and his family. It's rated PG-13, hour and 26 minutes. There is no score from Rotten Tomatoes on this yet.
I guarantee you it would scare me, though, you know?
We love The Conjuring, and we love Annabelle.
Annabelle.
And so
we don't love that. I won't watch it because I'm too scared.
The last Annabelle movie was really well done.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, again, all this stuff with ventriloquist dummies or whatever, anything like that, you do it right, it could be scary. They take the least frightening option and run with it for two movies.
Mm. Hopefully you brush your teeth.
Hopefully you brush your teeth. Oh, we have a funeral.
All right, those are the movies opening this weekend, and I got some clips to play for you. And guess what? The first one is about a movie is from a movie we already talked about. The Call of the Wild. Shows that nothing, not even Mother Nature, can break the bond between man and dog. And in this clip, Harrison Ford talks about Buck's character's arc in the movie. All right, now, I haven't heard this yet, but do you think we're going to get...
I think we're probably going to get that.
A really gruffy Harrison Ford. Here we go.
Buck, who has suffered at the hand of man, finds a new life in the wild. And we, having seen what he's been through, celebrate his new freedom and understanding of another way of life.
Call of the Wild is in theaters today.
You would be taking on quite a risk to take on a CGI dog because my guess is he would have laser eyes.
Yeah. Mm.
Right?
Yep.
All right, next clip. Anya Taylor-Joy looks to expand her range as an actress in this newest adaptation of Jane Austen's iconic novel, Emma.
Oh, I like her.
In this clip, Anya discusses playing the role of Emma that's so flawed. Here we go.
I really wanted to stay true to what Austen herself had said about the character, which was that she'd written a character that no one but herself would much like. Whilst it did make it hard to play Emma at random times, because I definitely had to go into a nastier side of my psyche, I think it's the right Emma. I think it's the version that she wrote.
Stop it.
Come on.
Emma opens in theaters today, by the way.
She's in Split, right? Yeah. I think it's the same actress I'm thinking
of. It is. And we have her in studio next week.
Oh, I love her.
Get out of here.
She's so good. And she's in the new X-Men movie, Preston.
She plays Wolverine.
Stop it.
No.
Who's she playing?
I forget who she's playing, but this one has a more... This is a reboot. Not a reboot, but it comes in on the horror side. And it's they're all sort of at a dark, hospital facility where they're trying to...
Can you look up her and find out who she's playing in the next X-Men movie?
Yeah.
But it's what now?
They're taking it's part of the new the next wave of Marvel films, and they're coming in. This has more of a horror element to it, where they're sort of trapped in this hospital.
Okay. We have it here in the trailers up there. It says the New Mutants.
Yes.
She's gonna play
Rasputin.
Ileana Rasputin. I have to go back and see who that is. I do know the New Mutants, but it's been a long time since I didn't read much of their titles.
Who's Rasputin in literature?
He's Russian.
Yes.
He's not literature. He's real.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. He had a huge penis.
He did.
Did he really?
They have it stored someplace. Yeah, I think it's at the Stoogerium.
No, it's not the Stoogerium. No? But they actually have it. They have it in formaldehyde. He was a mystic.
Yes, he was.
Yes. He was like a religious advisor of sorts.
Agreed.
So that was Rasputin. And he had a huge dong. Okay. Rasputin's huge song. It's a band's name. We got a lot going on today. John Heffron's stopping by. He's going to be at Helium Comedy Club this weekend. We also have, I've been told, a whole lot of stuff to give away.
Contests.
So we may have to do a contest.
Yeah.
We'll see if we can spend some time doing that. You know what? Speaking of stuff to give away, let me give away two pairs of passes for ladies only for our sorority night this coming Tuesday at the Flyers game.
Yeah!
215-263-WMMR is the number. We have our own special area that we're going to be in. By own special area, I mean this place has like couches and a fireplace. While you watch the hockey game, it's crazy.
It's so
I haven't
nice.
Been into it yet.
It's the word that comes to mind is sexy.
Yeah, I can't tell you guys what a great job they did. I can't wait for you guys to see it.
What's the name of it again? I got to write it down.
The assembly room. It's all the way upstairs. It's where the balcony suites used to be. And like I said yesterday, I'm kind of cynical when it comes to arenas redoing places. And, it always seems to me like to be a bit of a ticket grab. The way the Wells Fargo Center did this, they did it right.
So we'll do callers 10 and 11 at 215-263-WMMR. Ladies only, the guest you have to bring has to be female as well because it's our sorority party and it's just us girls.
That's how we roll.
So let's get you on board for that, and we'll do some other giveaways at some point this morning. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment, and we'll see what we can get into together. Stay put.
Here comes the MM Army. What's going
on? Join Brent Porsche Friday from 6 to 8 at KC's Drexel Hill, 812 Lansdowne Avenue, for Pacifico Official Cardboard Classic Pre-Party. Enjoy $3 Pacifico dress and register to win a Pacifico VIP Cardboard Classic experience, including VIP access for 4 to watch the classic, an overnight stay, and lift tickets. Click events at WMMR.com for complete details.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
Mind if I do a couple of shout-outs?
By all means.
There's a couple of really early... These are birthdays, and look, I'm going to miss them if I don't do them now, so they're not for another week or two. But anyway, this is from Jen, says, hey, a shout-out for my two friends and coworkers somewhere in the week of both their birthdays, the 26th and the 28th, Megan Hall and Aliza Goldstein. And I work with them. I work on the same team managing Pico Fitness Centers. They work in the Pico building downtown, and I'm in Kennett Square, so we don't get to see each other too often, but I got them hooked on the Preston and Steve show.
Yay!
Aliza is a devout Presbyterian, and she completely fangirled when we went to see the Saints show in November. They're great ladies, and it would make their day to hear a shout-out from you all. Thank you so much. You guys rock, and that is from Jen, so here you go. Shout for you guys. And by the way, Saint, we got a show tomorrow night. One of the last shows. I'm leaving the band. I made that announcement yesterday because of my hearing issues that I have. So we're playing JT Brewskis tomorrow night.
Are we officially calling it the second to last waltz?
In Delaware County. The second to last waltz is tomorrow night.
All right.
So come out if you can. We're going to have a good time. This one says, hey, shout out to my husband, Mark. One of our amazing adopted kitties is really sick. She is my little baby. I love her to the moon and back, and my loving husband has been taking such good care of her, spoon-feeding her water, staying at home from work. So if you guys get some time, do please give a shout-out to Mark and Princess Wizzles. Would appreciate it. Love you guys so much. Keep on keeping on. Much peace and love. And that is from Katie. And it says from Kitty Cat. So here you go.
Yeah, Don, I'm not coming in today. I'm going to be taking care of Princess Wizzles.
Yeah.
If you don't need me on the construction site.
Joe will not be in today. He's taking care of Princess Wizzles.
And then the last one says, hey, my husband, Scott McIvey, no, Scott McVeigh.
Okay.
Is always telling how much he loves your show, and often he explodes with laughter, spitting coffee all over the cab of his concrete truck because you guys are so hilarious. March 3rd is his 50th birthday. I'm a little early on this. Could you please, please, please surprise him by wishing him a happy birthday on the air? It would definitely be the best present he'd receive, and it would mean so much to us both. So here's a chart. And that is from Melissa.
So. I have to imagine a concrete truck is very heavy.
Yes. That, by the way, that shark came in via fax.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, this was just sitting on my stuff over here.
It came in a 1993, Prester.
And we just got it.
Yeah. Please play sport or not a sport.
Oh, well, we'll get right on that. I saw an interesting article, and even after I read it, Marissa sent it over to me because she wanted to jump in on the conversation. But apparently they're a ticket selling platform called TickPick surveyed over 1,000 people on their experience with music, and they found out the average participant recalled hearing their all-time favorite band for the first time and what age that would have been. So
okay.
Think about who your all-time, do you have an all-time favorite band?
I do.
Yeah.
And I learned about them during the Bronze Age.
You did.
Or you're talking about your physical age. Okay.
Your physical age, yeah. Yes.
I do, and it's the Beatles.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And Casey, obviously, Fish is yours. Nick, Pearl Jam is your all-time favorite band, right?
And I know the age.
What was the age?
16.
All right, how about you, Case?
I was 18 when I heard them for the first time.
Okay. Marissa, you joined in on this conversation you sent me. Do you know what? Do you have an all-time favorite band? Because you sent me a list of like 5 bands.
Yeah, I have a really hard time picking one band, but I think I narrowed down to right at 13. There were 4 bands that I loved, and to this day I still love. It's Bob Dylan, Goldfinger, Green Day, and STP.
Okay. Oh, wow. I thought Foo Fighters would be in there.
Yes, you're a massive Foo Fighters fan.
I think I didn't like Foo Fighters until a few years later, until high school.
Do you know, Preston, I was younger than this. I don't know what age they say most people do find out their favorite band, but I had an older brother. My older brother, Gene, is 9 years older than I am. And so he got into the Beatles, and I was, I was 8.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I kept hearing that stuff immediately, and I loved it.
When I discovered the Beatles, as were my all-time favorite band, I was in 5th grade. Now, I knew of them, but
yes.
When I decided, wow, I really want to dive into all of this. I love every bit of this music. It was around that. So 5th grade is about 11?
10, 11.
10, 11. I was 18. Like I got to look back.
You have an all-time favorite band?
No.
Okay.
Nope. I mean, I have like, you know.
You like music.
Yeah. Bands that I like and I would continue to go see, but I don't have one all-time favorite band.
So the average age for the first time you hear your all-time favorite band is around 13 years old.
13.
No, that's according to this this particular study or the research they did.
I wonder if it runs along with the first time you acquire a device to listen to your music on.
Your own.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, Steve, having my own Walkman, and then at 13, starting to get into rock music that was mine and not my parents'.
Where you could have sway over it. So I got, Nick, I got my first gramophone. I remember
the Victrola.
It was a column, like with little nubs on it. I'd crank it it was amazing to hear the Beatles that way.
Yeah. It was Edison saying it Mary had a little lamb, right?
And now, a new song from the Beatles.
Now, my second favorite band, which is Rush, that was around 13. That was about when I discovered them.
Right.
First I had heard a couple of songs. And then somebody played 2112 for me, and I was like, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to dive into it, and then I started really fanning out.
The phenomenon now is, so my music runs, like I love alternative stuff. I love contemporary. I mean, it runs all over the gamut. I think of, really, so you take kids in the 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 range now.
they can hear something, you know, and we've said this before, they like a band or find something that they like, and lo and behold, there's 12 albums out already. You know, I mean, they can get a whole catalog.
And here's another thing, because my oldest son, Parker, while he does love the Beatles, and I would put them as his first favorite band, but the majority of songs that he listens to, I don't even consider to be songs. So he goes
like EDM?
No, he goes on YouTube, and there are these, basically, they're like parody songs about video games and stuff like that.
Oh, really? Like,
wait,
yeah.
Who listens to this?
Parker does.
Okay.
And it's all
That's his world, though.
It's all about, you know, Fortnite and you know, and all these different games, and yeah. And they're like rap or songs or parody songs, and I mean, but he listens to them all the time.
Wow.
It's music to him. It's huh. Yeah. You know, I see it as just parody throwaway stuff.
Novelty stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of how I feel about like certain punk music and stuff like that. I'm like, what, you know? And I remember asking, it was a comedian who was in here, what is it about punk music that you like? The sound, you know? And yeah. he was like, it's a feel.
It's visceral.
It's a visceral feel.
No, I get that.
But I mean, my favorite band didn't really even release an album until I was 14 years old.
Is that so? Fish ended up on your radar when you were 14.
No. I'm just saying that they didn't even release an album until I was 14 and weren't really ever mainstream. So
when did you?
That's why it took so long for me to find them. But at 13 years old, Guns N' Roses was my favorite band.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was just about to ask you what you thought about GNR, because you and I are the same age.
Yeah.
And I remember vividly when Appetite came out.
Yeah.
And Steve, again, talking to like owning your own rock music. My parents probably to this day still don't like Guns N' Roses, but I did.
My mom loved them. Did she really?
Yeah,
so did my mom.
I remember coming home from a dance, St. Kevin's dance, and she surprised me. She bought the GNR Lies album for me.
Wow.
And, like, she really bought it for herself.
Did she, but, because like, of
you
Patience?
Said your mom got on their tour bus, right?
No.
Did she
no.
like the song Patience?
Yeah. I mean, Sweet Child of Mine is her favorite song.
Oh, wow.
She loves that song. But, you know, so that maybe kind of helped out with, you know, me being able to, because, you know, I had friends that listened to heavy metal when I was younger. And I remember listening to Ride the Lightning in my dining room. And, my sister came to me, she's like, why are you listening to this? And I'm like, I don't know, because my friend like it.
Yeah, all right, anyway. So let me ask you about your mom and GNR, but like cuts like It's So Easy and stuff like that. Did she like that?
Dude, I don't know.
Panties around your knees with your ass in the breeze doing that
grind
with the pump and squeeze?
I'm sure. I am sure
panties
she loves
on your knees with your ass in the breeze. Come on, everybody. The mashed potatoes are up.
Maybe your mom's not a lyrics kind of a person.
Little and sweet.
Your mom's more about the guitar.
I'm surprised. My mom loved AC/DC and Guns N' Roses and all that stuff. She just, you know.
My dad wore a Guns N' Roses shirt for the longest time.
No, I mean, really?
Absolutely. So we always had, again, we always had a strong rock influence in the house, and I think that's a good entree, you know?
I've been watching my kids go discover their favorite bands, and, you know, my middle child, Carter, is, when he fell into the music of Queen, he was like, this is incredible.
This is
amazing, and he just submersed himself in that, and I'm very, very proud of that fact, because I turned him on to it.
Yeah.
I'm like, you need to check this guy, Freddie Mercury, out.
That he just didn't automatically recoil at something his dad was introducing him to.
Yeah, he was pretty transfixed by the whole thing and Freddie's presence, because I showed him a video. But then my daughter, on her own, went and through a friend and has found her favorite band, which she lives and breathes for, which is 21 Pilots.
Right, yeah.
And I'm very proud of her, because she loves that music. It's good, substantive music.
Yeah.
And I'm happy for that fact that she has had found a favorite. You know, I think it's really cool. But they're finding that the data shows that friends are the biggest influence on music tastes.
Yeah.
Followed by radio.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Films. Fathers, mothers, TV, and other sources.
Okay.
Siblings, I guess. Yeah, it's not mentioned in here, but yeah.
Older siblings? Does it mention?
No, but that's where I got a lot of info.
That was me.
That was a
younger sibling probably, you know, introducing to the Wiggles.
There you go. Siblings, 33%. 48% of respondents said their older sibling exposed them to music their parents wouldn't have approved of.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, because I'm the oldest, and I didn't get anything from my younger brothers until later in life when they introduced me to other bands. But for me, it was Friends, when you talk about Pearl Jam. And I remember vividly driving up and down the Blue Route, and my friend Chris Cornacci had a Subaru. And in the back, we would sit in the back, and he put in
10. He put in the cassette, and he had one of those fancy cassette players where you could advance song to song to song and not just hit the record, you know, hit the forward button. And we would listen to Alive and Even Flow and Jeremy over and over again. And like, to me, it's a vivid memory in my mind.
Yeah. Marissa?
Yeah. I'm relating each one of those bands I mentioned earlier to a thing. So first was Bob Dylan, because I heard Hurricane on the Dazed and Confused soundtrack.
Yeah.
And so my dad was like, oh, wait, you like this guy? Let me introduce you to that. So my dad and I had Bob Dylan.
How old were you at that time?
That came out in 96, yeah. So I was 13.
Okay, wow, okay.
Yeah, and
to get into Dylan, yeah. I, you know, with the other music you like is wild.
Yeah, well, I had no idea what I was, like, I was singing along to Hurricane, not realizing the social impact of the song that I was listening to. And then stealing the Dookie album from my brother, which just totally blew my mind, and, like, that artwork. And then Goldfinger was you guys playing that on the radio.
Yeah.
Oh, back
so
at Y100.
Yeah. We did play a lot of that, yeah.
So
yeah.
There's my life in music.
Yep. Speaking of Dookie, and I'll have the story coming up in music news, but apparently the other night, it might have been last night, I'm not sure, but two nights ago, Green Day were all bowling and doing karaoke in Lancaster.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. They're working on their production for their show.
Well, Butch Walker lives out there. And so Butch, who's a bit a history with MMR, we did a band on the boat with him years ago.
Who's Butch Walker?
He's a singer-songwriter, but he's also a producer, and he's producing the next record with these guys.
Nick, some of the best engineers in recording are Amish. And a lot of people don't know
well,
that.
Well, you know, you have to be a real genius.
Yeah, we're going to do an album raising.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's also, like, I don't necessarily know how to word it, like, but basically a soundstage out there, because I just found out that, like, Fish goes out there to warm up before their tours and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've got the details coming up in music news, but there's a big thing in Lancaster where a lot of bands go and get that stuff done. All right, let me get to some, is there something else you want to mention?
What I was going to say is, like, there aren't many albums that you really can listen to, like, you know, front to back, back to front. And that's why, like, when I was growing up in those formative years, the mixtape was like an art, you know, and just, you know, having the flow be right. And that's, like, we were talking about siblings, you know, my older brother was a major influence in the music that I had listened to, and he had put the mixtapes together. So that's all I was going to say.
All right.
Let me go to Matt. Hey, Matt, you're on the air. Good morning.
You guys rock.
Wow. Thanks, man. What's up, dude? Tell us about your favorite band, musical influence, so on.
So I'm pretty young. I'm only like 23, but back in, like, I'd say it was the mid 2000s. My parents got me an iPod, and it had all their music on it because I didn't really know any music at the time. And the one band that stuck out to me was Kiss, because the artwork and had all of, you know, the cool face paint and everything. So when I was like, it was in 2009, so I must have been around like 12. My dad took me to the Kiss Alive 35 show in the Wells Fargo Center. And that was like my first ever concert experience. I remember it vividly, seeing a bunch of grown guys walking around in makeup, and it was just like,
mind
blowing, man.
So Matt, that's you're right in line with that. This, you know, you got your own device to listen to the music on, and I think now. Because honestly, when I was a kid, I mean, I was not into like doo-wop, and, you know, I mean, so stuff that would have predated me. You know, I never found myself listening to that. So, I think the volume of really, I hate to sound pompous about this general format, but the amount of good music available now is much larger if you're talking about rock and pop music than it was years ago.
My parents didn't influence me at all.
Yeah, nothing, with music. I mean, what were they into?
They were into, well,
death metal?
No, a lot of country, however, you know, like Tom Jones were really big at that time,
Tom Jones,
1970,
yeah.
So I do like some of that stuff, but they didn't really have favorite groups or anything that... That I would be influenced by.
My father would listen, this is what you like, they'd put on stuff like on a, you know, where they would have a few pops, as my dad would say, and it was like on the weekends, and I'd hear everything from Roy Clark to Wagner's Ring Trilogy, to the soundtrack to Born Free, to like all this weird stuff. And after a while, you're like, oh, okay, I guess that's it. But when you get control, when you get control of your own music and your own device, that's, as we said earlier, that's where you start to really develop your taste.
That's true. But I was lucky because my parents listened to MMR. You know, my parents lived here. And so, like, I was introduced to quote unquote classic rock through my parents, through this radio station, you know? So I was loving, you know, the band like Beatles and Stones and The Who. because of their love of MMR.
I'm Pierre Robert.
The Nighthawk?
15 years old.
My mom used to clean the house to Donna Summers. So that's,
oh, really?
That's what I grew up listening to.
By the way, so there's a bit of research here that talks about parents who have tried to influence their child's music tastes. So I think you may try to do that to some extent, try to turn them on to what you like, and hopefully they like it and you have that in common.
Yeah, yeah.
But the percentage who have tried to influence their child's music taste by preferred music genre. So the highest percentage who have tried to influence their children tried to influence them into indie rock, indie music. Next is hard rock. That's 75%. As a percentage who have tried to influence their child's music taste by preferred music genre, 75% indie rock.
You know, Spielberg tried to turn his daughter on to indie rock, and she's doing porn now.
Yeah. Doing porn. Fathers were more likely than mothers to try to influence their child's music taste if they were fans of indie rock, by the way. Also followed by jazz, country and folk, classical and pop. Rock isn't on there. Mothers were more likely than fathers to try to influence their child's music taste if they were fans of hard rock, classic rock, heavy metal. The chicks are rocking.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it.
I mean, look at Sarah here. She's a complete rock chick.
And hers all came from her parents.
Yes.
Really?
So, Kathy, if you, we try to get the cats to listen to stuff, but we don't have kids. they don't, though. But when you do, do you just kind of put it on and walk away like, let's see what happens? Or do you say, hey, check this out?
A little bit of both.
Okay. So the Beatles, we just kind of put on.
Right.
And they all love the Beatles, which is great. I tried a couple of times to play some Rush for my kids. And I'm like, you should listen to this. I'm like, you know, this is really cool, complex, awesome musicianship.
Don't just hear it. Listen.
Right over their head.
What you have to do is then remember the times like Casey has tried to get you to listen to Fish, or you've tried to get Casey to listen to something. And
one time, so my daughter and I play this game where we'll go in the car and we'll do one for one. She'll play a song, and it's always a 21 Pilots song. And then I will try to find something in my catalog that kind of matches the tone of that song. We do this, try to match the theme or the texture of the song. We play this little game back and forth. Or sometimes we'll say, I'll play a cool song, you play a cool song. So one time I put on, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna swing for this one, you know. I'm gonna try something a little
Squirrel
bit different.
Nut Zippers.
No, I put on I think it was like, so this is Love from Van Halen, or it might have been, Mean Street, or some banging Van Halen song. And at the end of the song, I go, I didn't know if you'd like that or not. She goes, yeah, I checked out about halfway into it.
Oh, no.
But she was honest with me.
I didn't like it, old man.
Yeah. I think, too, part of it is just like parents telling the children, like with Jace, he's only 8, but he'll be like, I don't like your music, turn it off. He wants to listen to something else. Meanwhile,
what's he listening to?
But meanwhile, it's just because I'm listening to it. It's not because he doesn't like it. He goes to this garage band school, and Mike, the guy that runs it, will have them play a song, and now all of a sudden he loves it. I'm like, that's the song I had on the radio, you know, 2 weeks ago. And he's like, no, it wasn't. It was a different song.
Press, I do the same thing with my kids. And it's funny because my oldest, she hates Fish.
Yeah.
And so she and I don't necessarily see eye to eye on our musics because a lot of times when we do one for one, it'll be Fish on my side and it'll be like show tunes on her side. And I'm like, oh, my God, how many times can I listen to the Newsies soundtrack?
What hellacious other trip that must be.
What other 14-year-old girl out there is listening to Newsies? She loves it, though.
That's her deal.
She loves show tunes. And what? My sister was like that.
Did you see Modern Family? They had a perfect episode of this. The Cam and Mitch have their daughter.
Yeah.
And so she's into this YouTube star who's, you know, this singer and so on and so forth. And that was like last year.
Yeah.
And then they get in the car. Turns out she loves to listen to like thrash rock now. and it totally changes. You know, and that's... That's how, you know, you go through your musical taste. You jump around a lot.
My son will often take the control of, and I have to give it to him. Like, by the way, let me just a side note here. The general rule as a passenger in a car.
Don't touch the radio.
You don't touch the radio unless you're asked to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Touch my radio.
Dude, Chuck goes in and he touches my volume or like right
can't
away.
No. I mean, I don't have passengers in my car very often because we, no, you don't touch the radio.
You
don't
touch the radio.
Driver's privilege.
Yes. Touch my dong first, then you can touch
the radio. Yeah, exactly. Right? That's the cost.
That's the cost.
All right, I was in the car with my best friend over the weekend, and she listens to the radio so loud, like ridiculous, and now having a conversation with me like this and not turning it down. So I did go over, but I kind of did it when she like turned her head and I tried to turn the volume down just a little bit so we could have a damn conversation.
I'm okay with that. I'm all right with that.
If you're trying to talk or grab the wheel.
Yeah.
But listen, and also I would never do that in one of your cars. Right. Maybe Nick's, but right. I would never do that in one of your, you know what I mean? Like it would have to be somebody that I was No, but you know what I mean? It would have to be somebody that I was like my best friend. I was really close with. I'm okay if I turned down her radio.
Right. Yeah. All right. Marissa.
Never giving you a ride anyway.
I want to defend Chuck because I saw this as a backseat driver between the two of them. When we turned on the car, it was in the middle of some like fish jam and it was cranked to like 20. And Chuck was just like, oh, no. And turned it down. So I defend him a little bit.
No, don't defend him at all because I mean, it's what he does all the time. But listen, I listen to my music loud.
But see, that's what I'm saying. You're close with Chuck. Yes. He felt like he could do that in your car.
He did. And he can't. And I told him that.
And he doesn't care.
It's the number one rule.
I was riding with you one time. I almost got out of the car.
and you hadn't stopped.
It wasn't fish either. It was some Mariah Carey ballad.
Yes.
That I was just, I'm like, not now.
Which one was it? Was it If It's Over?
I don't
That's
remember.
A good one.
Is that a good one?
Yeah, it is a good one.
I'm missing out here, I guess. Hang on, let me go to some calls. Talking about people who have influenced your musical taste or when you first found your favorite band, because the average age, according to this study, is 13. I'm going to go to Peter. Hi, Peter. Good morning.
Hey, how are you guys today?
Good. What's up, Peter?
Good. Yeah, I was probably about 14, 25 years ago, and I was learning to play the electric bass. And rather than reading sheet music, my brother's like, here, listen to some albums. And he gave me the Police, the singles album,
yeah,
and just turned me on to the Police. And, it was a great album to learn the bass to as well. You get your fast-paced songs.
And did they become your favorite band?
Absolutely. Saw them twice on the reunion. I've seen Sting a couple times in concert. Actually met Sting in person. It was
cool. Nice.
So there you have a perfect example. It was your older brother influencing you. Actually, if you watch Preston, the Sing Street. The older brother is he's the one who takes his younger brother through this musical journey throughout his life and introduces him to all sorts of music, and that influences what his band is playing.
It's cool when that happens. Yeah. My sister turned me on to Van Halen, and Van Halen is one of my all-time favorite bands as well, so I do owe her for that. I like to believe I probably would have discovered him anyway.
Right.
But that person who says, here, and especially if it's a band that's already got an existing catalog that's been around for a while,
you can dive back in.
And you can go here. Here's a little taste. A little taste of this, and then all of a sudden you're like, I need everything.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Which record did you listen to for Van Halen with your sister first? Do you remember?
The first song was "And the Cradle Will Rock."
Okay.
That I heard, and I'm like, well, this is intense.
Yeah,
because I'd never, you know, it was kind of dark and heavy and you know, I heard Eddie's playing, and I'm like, how do you do that with a guitar? And then it opened up, and then I went back to the first album and started listening there.
Did MTV influence you guys? Because it did for me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, big time.
Yeah. MTV was a whole other ball game.
I was into a lot of the stuff that they were already, the first videos were.
Right.
So, like, stuff that was called progressive. You know, a lot of those videos, that actually fueled the early days of MTV, because these bands, they were trying to get any traction they could, and they would all make these films.
Yeah.
And so and they ended up on MTV. So you'd get bands like The Cure and Echo and the Bunnymen and all these weird, and you would get, you know, Tom Petty initially, and then the other more established bands got into it. But yeah, it sort of reinforced what I was listening to.
So Dire Straits, for me, I didn't know earlier Dire Straits, and then Money for Nothing came out, and that's a really cool video. And then you get, you know, and then Walk of Life is a great video. It's all these sports highlights.
Yes,
it's fantastic. And then you're like, oh, wait a minute. This band has like six albums beforehand that you can go back to.
I think it's awesome. Because I clearly remember going, when's the next album coming out?
Yeah.
It's new music coming.
Yeah. Let me go to, we got a lot of different calls here. We're not going to have time to get to all of them. I'm going to go to Steve. Hi, Steve. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Yeah, one of the reasons I called was to see where I wonder when MTV dropped off of that data list because it was so huge.
Yeah.
Was, I mean, just in the 80s and 90s, I mean, just huge. But my, I mean, my favorite band is Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, but I was probably about 12 when I started diving into the albums. You know what I mean? Like,
how established was the band by the time you had heard about them? Did they already have a few albums out?
Oh, yeah. Okay. They were up to, they were up to Let Me Up, I've Had Enough. So it was right before, it was right before Full Moon Fever.
Okay.
Right before he went
right before it exploded, yeah.
Right, and that was my first concert when I was 15, was Full Moon Fever. But I think the first album that I really dove into was Damn the Torpedoes, and I was like, oh, my God. Because I had heard the stuff on the radio, you know, but when we went camping with friends, they had the albums. But I was also really into Pearl Jam. In the 90s, I dropped off. I'm not a fan like Nick is, but I remember the first time I heard Pearl Jam, I was a member of the Black Crowes fan club, and they used to send out, like, singles. You know what I mean? And they sent a single out of this new band, Pearl Jam. They wanted everybody to check out. And I was like, why are they sending this out? Like, who? I didn't sign up for the Pearl Jam fan club.
Yeah, Jeff Ament loves the Black Crowes. And the reason they hired Brendan O'Brien as one of their producers was because Brendan O'Brien produced some Black Crowes stuff. So I love when other bands influence your musical tastes and choices as well.
Okay, yeah, because I didn't get to, I never understood the correlation, but I think it was Alive, and I don't remember what the B side was, but I was like, oh my God! And then from that moment on, I was into them. I mean, all the way through. God, I don't even know the last album. I dropped off, like I said, but it was weird to get an album from another band.
Oh yeah, there was. I told the story on air a number of times. I got turned on to a couple of bands because of mistakes made by the Columbia Record Club.
Yeah.
Like I got, what the hell is this? Steely Dan was a perfect example. And I go, all right, what is this?
Yeah. All right thanks. Guys, thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. I love this one. I assume this is from a guy. It says, my first CD was Shut Up and Dance by Paula Abdul, and it was at that point that I should have realized I was gay. I guess it didn't happen until later on. Sometimes you don't know.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm so gay.
Well, it's interesting. Think about that today. It's kind of fun to go back and find out where you started your love affair with your favorite music, your favorite band, who turned you on to that, where those influences come from, and who the other people you have influenced maybe, and turn them on to stuff. It's so great. And I know Casey cherishes being able to turn music on to people because he tries to do it to me all the time.
Right.
And when you do hit with something, it's pretty cool, right?
Yeah. I actually, I've stopped trying to do that because
you're not very receptive. I know. He'll be like, hey, why don't you hear something? I'll be like, what?
Yeah, I don't do it anymore because it makes me feel bad about myself.
They're called the milk carton kids. I think you're really going to like it.
I know what you're going to like and what you're not going to like. You know?
You do?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
This is a jug band out of Missouri. I think you're going to like them.
No, but when you do connect with someone on a music level, it's pretty awesome. I've realized that like with Rush, I really don't have a lot of people to talk to about that band.
Yeah.
Most of my friends the people that I see regularly aren't really into them. Now the Beatles, pretty much.
That's pretty easy.
Most of the people you can talk to them about, and that's cool.
Are there support groups for Russia?
There should be.
Yeah.
But the guy, listen.
With donuts and everyone smoking.
That's what was so cool about getting in the band that I'm in, Saint. All those guys love Rush. And we sit down and we will just sometimes talk about the band.
I know.
And now I've quit.
Now you've quit them.
But it's awesome to have those guys to talk to that music about.
But at the end of the day, you're just trying to share something that's important to you with other people.
Yeah.
And then it's a bond that you can create. And so, it's something that you'll carry with you for the rest of your life, with your kids, with your friends, with the people that you listen to on the radio.
Yeah. I apologize to those who've been on hold for a long time. We didn't have time to get to you, but we've got to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. I got some bizarre file stories on the way. We have our buddy John Heffron who's stopping by. He's going to be at Helium Comedy Club and a few other things to get to. Lots of stuff to give away. We're going to have to do some kind of prize blowout at some point.
Yes.
We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast, 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I want to give away some turkey bacon.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah, we've got a lot to give away.
All right, I'd like to do that. I will take caller number 7, and I will give you a coupon, a six-pack of coupons, good for six full-size packages of Godshall's turkey bacon. You can make Godshall's turkey bacon a part of your healthy lifestyle plan, and you can get recipes at godshalls.com. Caller number 8, we will give that to you, 215-263 WMMR. Make sure you call us now. I also want to give a little plug-a-rooney for an event going on tonight with our buddy Brent Porsche. He will be at Casey's in Drexel Hill from 6 to 8 p.m., and this is for a Cardboard Classic pre-party with Pacifico.
Excellent.
So stop by Casey's in Drexel Hill tonight between 6 and 8 p.m., and you can get yourself registered to win the Pacifico VIP Cardboard Classic experience, which is an overnight stay, lift tickets, VIP access for you and three friends to watch the classic. And not only will Brent be there, but our calendar girls, Dominique and Carly, will be there, too.
Nice.
And I would imagine they're bringing calendars with them, right?
Why would you do that? What kind of sick bastard wouldn't bring calendars?
So that's tonight at Casey's. Join Brent Porsche and get out there, and we'll see if you can win. We're going to do the Bizarre Vibe.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Robbins Diamonds in tax-free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax. First, the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. Police say that three men held up a CVS in Clearwater, Florida. They wore blue surgical gloves so that they wouldn't leave fingerprints.
Huh.
They waved their guns at employees, bound several of them with zip ties, and then they left with a ton of drugs in a white garbage, actually several white garbage bags, a total of more than 10,000 pills contained the opioids with an estimated street value of about $320,000.
Wow.
Now, when detectives began their investigation, they noticed pill bottles, and it seemed that the thieves were emptying the bottles as they made their getaway, tossing them out the window of their car. Detectives just followed the bottles like breadcrumbs to a home and detained Christopher Rachel and David Dobbins, who were providing more evidence that led to the arrest of Roy Lampkin.
It's like a junkie Hansel and Gretel.
It's exactly what happened. They went to all this great care to pull off this heist, and they were stupid enough to throw the bottles out the window as they were going along.
Make sure you throw them in increments so the police can follow. Yeah.
Rachel and Robbins are charged with 2 counts of trafficking in illegal drugs, 3 counts of false imprisonment, and 1 count of armed robbery.
So what did them in was littering.
Exactly. Well, maybe this guy dislikes the decorations. Police in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, are seeking information after they say someone broke into an apartment on Tuesday and then proceeded to squirt ketchup all over the walls, floor, and furniture.
You sick son of a bitch.
The family that resides in the apartment was not home at the time of the incident, and they don't know why it happened, so anyone with information is asked to contact police.
Why not mustard?
I don't know. They had a predisposition to ketchup for some reason.
One of these days.
Listen to this. A special squad of monkey police, armed with catapults, will form a ring of steel around Donald Trump when he visits the Taj Mahal next week.
Monkeys with catapults?
Well, not quite what you think. The picturesque 17th century mausoleum is home to some 200 rhesus macaques who are notorious for terrorizing visiting tourists.
These are tremendous monkeys.
The fearless monkeys will grab any food they see and have scratched and bitten visitors in an attempt to get snacks.
They're vicious.
In one case, a small baby was killed by a monkey.
Yee.
Speaking to India Today, one local resident said the terror of the monkeys is so pervasive that women and children are scared of going up on the roof of their houses, which have almost been taken over by monkeys. He said, if such a large troop of monkeys attacks Donald Trump's entourage, it will be a disaster.
Yes.
Brij Bhujan, head of the Taj Mahal security, said that the monkeys had learned to fear the specialist anti-monkey squad. He said the monkeys get frightened just by seeing us brandishing slingshots and run away. However, one officer in India's Central Industrial Security Force, which supplies the anti-monkey guards, was not so confident, showing his catapult to an India Today interviewer.
This is a catapult for the monkeys.
He said, while this catapult is effective against single or a couple of monkeys, when it comes to whole troops of monkeys, the catapult is completely ineffective.
So is the catapult designed to launch monkeys away from their attack?
I think they're using the word catapult and they mean slingshot.
Oh.
Efforts to sterilize the monkeys in order to reduce their numbers have had only limited success so far. It would be hilarious to see monkeys flying through the air, though. Randomly.
It's the goddamnedest thing I ever found.
Yeah.
I was attacking the president and then I got launched into the air.
The Forest Department has been requested to ensure that the monkeys stay away from the Taj during Donald Trump's visit. So they've called in the monkey police for Trump?
I assume security surrounding the president will have firearms.
Possibly. Just start popping off monkeys.
Taking out monkeys right and left.
A mom shared photos of an amusing situation she found herself in after she forgot that she had fake tanning lotion on when she went to feed her newborn. The result left the boy with a brown smear around the bottom half of his face. Kasia Josevac was applying tanning foam when her five-month-old son, Raph, woke up hungry. She says she didn't realize that the product hadn't had enough time to dry until she looked at his face after breastfeeding him. She said, when I looked down at Raph, I just burst out laughing. I couldn't believe the tan left his mouth looking like Homer. Raph was asleep, so I thought that I could squeeze in some tanning time, but he woke up starving mid-tan.
Do you traditionally tan fully your full breasts, I guess, right?
Yeah, you can.
All right.
She said that it was the first and definitely last time I feed him with my tan still on. It hadn't actually occurred to me that the tan could transfer on him. Kathy, will some people put the little pasties on to cover the areola and nipple anything?
I guess you can. Yeah, sometimes they have like little flowers. But, I mean, she was doing it herself. So yeah. She probably was just...
Do you fully tan your penis, Preston, when you put the lotion on? I do.
You never know when somebody's going to see that.
Right.
Right. What an amazing white penis you have compared to the rest of your body.
It's like a unicorn. You rarely see these.
Mm. All right, and then one last story. Date night for two off-duty officers ended with them foiling a robbery at a restaurant chain in Kentucky. Chase and Nicole McEwen are both police officers in Elizabethtown and have been married for 6 months. The night started out normal when they went to a restaurant called Raising Cane's, but things took a strange turn when they were eating dinner. They said a man had come in wearing a mask and went up to the counter. Nicole said, I think both of us saw him at the same time. At first, she thought the man might be sick, given flu season, but soon realized the mask was a less innocent reason. She said, I looked at Chase and said, that's kind of odd. Nicole said they saw the employee behind the counter put their hands up, and that's when both realized what was happening. The officers drew their weapons, chased the suspect out of the establishment, and on surveillance video, the suspect can be seen dropping the weapon. The couple continued to pursue him a few blocks away from the restaurant and held him at gunpoint until the police arrived and arrested him.
This is just not your day.
Yeah. The couple said officer instincts just kicked in as the situation progressed. She said, we both looked at each other and said, is this what's going on? Okay, let's go. So they've got the suspect in custody. They were out for a date.
The one couple.
They're getting free chicken for a year for their efforts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the restaurant's offering it up.
Nice. All right, and there you go. That's what I got in the bizarre file for you. We are going to take a quick break. We'll come back in a moment. Our friend, John Heffron, is scheduled to be here, so we'll spend some time with him. Some other things going on as well. And we had a brief discussion. We may do possibly the easiest game in the world.
Oh, yes.
To win prizes this morning.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of them to give away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Thank you so much, Kathy. We're happy our next guest is back. We love it when he's in town. He's got shows at Helium Comedy Club tonight at 7:30 and 10. And then tomorrow, same nights as well, you can get tickets at heliumcomedy.com. A triumphant return to Philadelphia. Mr. John Heffron.
Yay!
Is here. How you doing, man?
I'm doing wonderful. For some reason, your music bed during the traffic.
Yes.
I was tired, and then I heard that, and then I'm just like, now I'm not.
It got you moving?
It got me moving. It kind of obviously has that 70s vibe.
Yeah. It was Isaac Hayes, I think.
Yeah. It kind of has we're about to rob something, or just kind of,
right, okay.
I don't know. I just think in general that there should be music beds.
To everything?
Yeah. I think phones need to do the thing where you can just hit music bed, and if you're having a conversation with somebody on the phone, it kind of makes the conversation just go.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And it also provides a cutoff point. Well, we're about to wrap up here, so you know, like you're hitting the post at the conversation.
Yeah.
I love that idea.
I also think that, just like this. I'm like, hey, I think I'm going to go get some McDonald's a little bit later. You want to go? And it just kind of has
a forward momentum. Yeah.
I love it. I just like it.
Makes me want to go to McDonald's with you.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. You just got a date. Hey, wait
hey,
a minute.
Hey, girl, what's up? I think we should go out. I mean, let's take this Bumble relationship to the next level. I just like it. Yeah, and I also think people should do live reads. Like, I have a money-making thing where a company should sponsor you, and you just throw in live reads just during normal conversation.
We're just friends, coworkers, whatever.
So you have, obviously, live reads, have all your billions of listeners. Yeah. We get it. But then I think you can really hit the core when you're like, if your friend says, hey, you look rested. Well, that's because, you know what? I just got this new Casper mattress. Put it in a box and send it to your house
Look for those opportunities.
Yeah. And you just sting and you hand them a card and it's, we're about to that, right? I mean, there's people on Instagram that have
Influencers.
Why can't you just be an influencer within your little group?
Yeah. Instead of a mass communicator, you're a minimum communicator.
Yeah. It's kind of like the thing.
I like that.
It's kind of a joke in the Truman Show. Like, they'll hold up advertisements in the middle, and the whole thing with Jim Carrey's being filmed, and in order to get advertising, Laura Linney will hold up the plow that they're advertising or whatever.
Yeah, so product placement.
Product placement, for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
But they do say word of mouth is the strongest form of advertising, so if you're just slipping it into regular conversation, and they have no idea that you're being paid.
That's how Fire caught on initially. Hey, found this great new thing, and there you go. Off
and running. Think there was like one guy who, like, right, you're walking or a woman, they had Fire,
right.
And then you're in the other cave. Do you think like the wife or and that cave was like, you know, the Johnsons have Fire? Like, yeah, I mean,
right?
I'm fighting pterodactyls all day. I don't get paid. What do you think pterodactyl fighters make?
Right.
We can't afford Fire.
Yeah, sorry, you married a loser.
Yeah. And then you go. That's just like. Seems like a...
Speaking of affording things, we saw this on Instagram that you had posted, and this blows me away that these things cost this much money, that you wanted a bike, that there was a bike you wanted as a kid,
right?
And you're going to be turning 50 this summer, and you would like to get it for your birthday. It's a Redline MX2. It's a restored BMX old school bike. $4,950.
Wow. Yeah, I saw that price. And, yeah, again, I couldn't afford it when I was 14, and I can't afford it as a 50-year-old.
Well, you could afford it, but you couldn't justify it, right?
I could, because it's just me. I'm not, I guess, you know, it's just me. I'm a single guy with a BMX bike. I just, you know, I have every right just to wake up in the day.
Taking women out to McDonald's.
Throw on my backpack, just jumping on my bike in my corduroy shorts. Pedals.
You'd be the ultimate hipster.
Build some ramps.
Yeah. But I mean, so back then, what was it, like $400 maybe?
But why can't a 50-year-old, is that any weirder that if I'm on one of those, then I'm in one of these cities where they have those scooters where guys go, they do some shots, they jump on a scooter.
I agree.
Then they go to, I'm just not scooter age. I'm the age of, if you were at bars and you did shots, you got behind a vehicle and you drove to the next place, okay? Right. My generation knew how to drive drunk. So I don't know why it would be weirder if I was on a BMX and somebody's on a scooter.
You know what I saw, by the way? I was traveling over the weekend. We had a couple extra days. And in the airport, there's a guy had a piece of luggage that on the back of it folded down and it became a Razor scooter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's fine, right? And
there's small bikes that do that, too.
Yeah.
They actually sell them at the hardware store near where I live. And, it's an actual, it folds down to this really small thing.
Yeah.
But a little two-wheeled bicycle is pretty wild.
You need to get that. You need to get that.
I want to get a BMX bike. I want to ride it to a buddy's house, and I want to knock on his front door without telling him I'm coming. And then when his wife answers, I want to go, is Kevin here? And then, I'm Kevin. I'll put my face against the screen. Kevin! Ask your wife if you can come out and play. And then me and him, we get on our bikes and we ride across town to our friend Ken's house. Ken, come on. And then we go and we keep money in our sock.
I always wanted
go to 7-Eleven.
I always wanted a badass BMX bike. I wanted a Mongoose.
I had the Huffy, but the Mongoose.
Yeah,
were
I had
the
a
next.
Huffy as well.
I would get either a Mongoose or a Redline.
Do you remember when they used to call them spider bikes, or like with the banana seat where it was actually had the handlebars up way high for a brief period? I wanted that bike. Yeah. And my mother refused to get it for me, so she got me like a full Schwinn, my toes just barely touched the concrete.
And those pedals back then were like these bear claws. They had these spikes
that would
come out. And I'd ride barefoot. And then if you're going down a hill and you take your feet off of them and then try to get the timing to get back, your feet would impale on that. Then you hit the jump and your stripped handlebars would then fall forward and you do a flip or your jeans would get caught in the chain.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You know, and it's the 70s. Nobody cares about a kid laying in the middle of the road, with his jeans caught in the chain. So then the van chasing you all day, finally that guy gets you. He stops.
Right, the guy who lives in love with you.
Yeah.
The problem is, I think you're probably too big for that bike now, right? The red line that you posted on Instagram. Have you seen the SE bikes, because you're based in California, right?
No,
just moved, right?
I just moved.
Oh, did you?
I just went ghost, but now my secret location's given away to everybody.
I will not do that.
No. So I was in Los Angeles, and then I'm posting up in Michigan right now.
Okay, there's too many hills in Michigan. Because that's the other thing I discovered. When you were a kid, riding your bike in hills didn't even matter, but as an adult, hills totally matter.
I was so little that I used to have to like get off my bike and push it up the hill, you know, and then going down the hill, remember like when your front wheel would just wobble, it would just go left to right to left, and you just know, I'm about to eat it. This is where the handlebars go right into my gut.
Yeah, so they have these SE bikes and they're really, really cool, but they do have bikes that are basically, they're big enough for adults, right? So, like, little kids can, you know, ride their versions, and then they have, like, the big ripper.
Were you any good? Were you any good as a kid on those?
On the BMX bike?
Yeah.
You tried. Like, that was an era that went through. There was that movie Rad that came out.
Oh, my God, Rad.
He did
awesome.
A backflip.
Yeah, there was that. And we build ramps and stuff like that.
I think I
went in one of, like, the tunnels or the...
a half pipe?
A half pipe once, and I was scared. I'm not... Yeah. At the end of the day, I'm not a big, you know, there's too much adrenaline.
I knew some people who could do that stuff. The best I could do were riding wheelies and bunny hops, and that was it. Yeah.
I would do an endo. Remember what that word is?
No.
That's when you went, you flipped. That was a wipeout.
You could do that?
Yeah, it was called not on purpose.
No, an endo was a back wheelie.
And you'd stick your foot in the front tire.
Yeah.
And then it would cause the bike
to
lift up. Yeah. But I didn't know how to stop it there. I would lift up and then fall over.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah. Then the comb would fall out of my back pocket.
Right. I could wheelie on my Schwinn, on my full.
Well, and those banana seat bikes were easy because you would just slide your butt down and it would pop off.
Great.
Yeah.
God, that was so much fun.
Why can't I do it now? Why am I denying myself the fun of getting a bike?
What? You should not.
I just got to get a C in biology. My parents will let me get one. I just got to get that up, and then we're totally fine.
All right. So, but now I'm looking at your Instagram, and you're off the bike. Now you want a panic house?
I always want. You guys know that about me. I always want. A panic house has never not been a thing.
Okay.
John is not a full-on prepper, but he is quite aware of his surroundings and his well-being and protecting himself. It's a big thing for you.
He is. You are into tactical everything, as am I.
Everything.
For no reason, but like a tactical pen.
I just like the word tactical. If I was at a grocery store and it said tactical cupcakes, I'd be like, why would I not want these?
obviously,
I don't know why. These are obviously
safer.
Better than... They're obviously safer. Maybe they don't leave crumbs or anything.
I bought tactical gloves that have, like, the knuckles are, like, metallic.
Oh, I have those.
Like Batman.
And they're Kevlar?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have Kevlar.
They're not even warm.
I would travel in my computer bag, not this time, but usually, and this is when it goes south when I don't have it. I have a little tack bag. It has a... It has, like, a pool ball in it, whatever that's made out of.
Like a billiard ball?
It's a little bit bigger, so that's in there. So
the tactical ball.
That I have that. I can smash windows with that. I can put it in a sock, and then I can swing that.
Right.
I have your tack skulls. Pen. I have my tack pen, of course.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now I have tack crayons, just to, you know what I mean? Guy thinks I'm doing coloring, and bam, guess what?
Wow.
Now you don't have an esophagus.
Wow.
Then I have these things called swap lockers. This is all in my computer bag. The swap locker.
What's a swap locker?
It's a wedge you can put on a door and there's no way you're opening it.
Yes.
In fact,
just a little way.
Schools were looking at these things.
It's just super small.
During a lockdown.
You're at a hotel.
Yeah.
You put that in there.
Wow.
I have a tourniquet. I have.
What's a tourniquet?
Just in case.
A tourniquet. A tourniquet.
Yeah. I have a turn.
I thought it was like a tourniquet.
I have a turnkey multi-level thing. It's Amway. I pitch people.
But just in case you're bleeding out, you need a tourniquet.
I just want to be part of it. Yeah, I have that. I have.
Do you have the master lock picker?
Yes, but I'm horrible at that.
Really?
I have practice locks. I have lock picking sets.
Play Splinter Cell. Yes, the video
you
game.
Learn, I don't know. Like, I have that. I have Kevlar shoelaces just because.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What's the point of that?
In case you get shot in the foot.
A life straw.
Oh, okay, yeah. Actually, Steve, you have a life straw.
I have two of them in the drawer in my office right now.
Yeah.
Where you could lean down into a filthy creek.
I have one sewn into my arm. That way it's just always on me. Because the whole thing is you have all your tactical stuff, but all your stuff is far away from you. I've now sewn all my stuff in me.
Do you have a computer in your computer back?
My lower back, I have a power bar in case I need it. I just scratch away the skin, and I just pull it out, and I eat it.
Have you seen the tactical jacket that has a place for all of that stuff? Yeah. Where you would weigh like 200 pounds.
What do you think he's wearing?
Yeah. What do you think? You want to see a raft? I can make a raft show up in this place right now.
The latest thing.
Parachute? I'll jump out of this window.
Please.
All these things show up on my Instagram feed, right? So now that we're talking about it, I'm going to have ad after ad. But the latest one I've seen is basically, it's just a tactical pole, right? It's a walking stick. But it seems like every 4 to 6 inches, you can unscrew it, and there's something there, like a knife and a screwdriver. Have you seen this one yet?
No. Yeah,
but you can also, like, beat the hell out of somebody with it.
It's like a baton as well.
Yeah.
And it's just full of stuff?
Yeah. Just think of, like, if you were going hiking, it would be like a hiking stick.
And then...
But it's full of stuff.
And then somebody's like, hey, I got Girl Scout cookies. And you open it up, you're like, bam, $5.
Yes.
There you go.
Exactly.
But, John, what is it about? Because, like, there's one that I've told these guys about that I'm flirting with, I'd ordered one and they were out of them, so I'm going to have to place another order. But it's basically like a claw, almost like the claw game in an amusement, arcade.
Right.
But you can drop it down; it'll pick up a penny. If something's in a ravine and you need to pick it out, it's basically like a claw, but it's this.
I've seen it.
Right? It's on Instagram.
Yeah, and they show it. They show.
Have you ever seen this?
Pick up a nickel with it.
If
yes.
something's in a ravine,
you know how many times you lose things in ravines, Preston. What about when you're on a glacier and something goes down a crevasse?
You can also pick up the penny or nickel with the thing called your knees?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a thing. Your butt. But I have not seen that one.
I know, it's so stupid.
That'd be good for my tree fort that I get. Yeah, like I'm obsessed with, like, I want, like...
So your house, your dream safe house.
Yeah, like 20, 30 acres, maybe a shipping container house.
Okay.
Just because I just want square footage you just lose stuff. A long gravel driveway, maybe half a mile gravel so I can hear approaching vehicles. I want colored markers along the driveway so I know how many yards out that vehicle's approaching.
Okay, so you have a clear shot at it.
And unless your car, doesn't say Domino's, there might be an issue.
Right.
But it's weird, dating somebody, I can't be like, hey, you should come back to my house. Okay, where do you live? All right, it's going to get creepy. You're going to drive, you're going to lose cell reception, you're going to come to a river, there's going to be a raft, pull yourself across the river, and then walk a little bit, there's going to be a gentleman, he's going to ask you a riddle. And if you get the riddle correct, he'll tell you what path to go down. As you're going down the path, you're going to see a shipping container house. The first one's a burner. I don't live in that one. That one's a decoy in case there's drones.
But I love
that stuff. It's a slippery slope. Like I bought a house in Michigan, like a fixer-upper house, and the house was built in like 1820, and it's on 400 acres of corn. So if anybody here saw Children of the Corn, it's maybe the scariest place I could be living.
Yeah.
It's scary. 100%.
I love it, though. I love that.
It's there's ghosts and in every... Yeah, I play a game at night called Guess What's in the Walls. And I just, I just hear animals. They have, like Makitas.
Yeah.
They're trying to get at me. And then I'll sleep upstairs. So there's like three levels. And then you sleep upstairs, but you're so far away from the bottom floor. And the thing, I'm a grown guy.
Do you have a panic button?
I get a little bit afraid. And I'm in a onesie, and I've had that happen where you hear noise and you jump out. You're like, do I leave the onesie on to fight this guy? Or do I take it off? If I take it off, he's going to see my chicken legs. He's going to make fun of me. Hey, what? Your legs get out of a cast? Stop making fun of my chicken legs. My family doesn't have cash. It's genetics. Yeah, you know, they got to fight the guy in a onesie. It's a whole thing.
Listen, I hear you. We've had this discussion.
Are there TAC onesies?
There's got to be.
Tactical onesies?
A tactical onesie.
I bought those tactical shoes. I have to bring them in.
The ones where you could step on nails?
You can't.
Oh, I saw them.
You can't. It shows the thing where you're standing on like nails, and I was.
You bought those.
Well, I pushed just to see what it was like to push a nail to the bottom of it, and they came in. This is a while ago. I ordered them, and they're not. They don't work. They're supposed to be like a Kevlar thing.
Did you try it?
I wasn't going about to put my goddamn foot in it before I tried a nail. And I was like, no way. And they're not comfortable, too. All my tack stuff has to be comfortable. My tack gloves are comfortable. They're just, they're absolutely useless in cold weather.
Yeah, I got those.
And I'm bummed that there is a tactical onesie.
There is.
I thought I was going to, ahead of all these business ideas, I was going to do tack onesies with some bug out pockets.
Like a ghillie onesie?
Yeah, so you just be sleeping and then you hear something and you can just, you know, dive out of your window.
What if you look like a bush in bed?
Oh,
yeah, right. That's not a human. That's just a bush in there.
Or like a safe house would be a big teddy bear, and you just get into it and zip in.
Yeah.
And then the robbers would just think somebody just got, you know, build a bear or Valentine's and got a big bear.
Just sit on the couch.
And you can just hide in it and just watch them through the bear eyes and have it be like bulletproof.
John, does anybody in your family share this obsession? Like, does it come down from your parents, your dad, or anything like that?
No, only me and Jeff. Jeff, you can't see him. He's usually right next to me. He's my friend. Yeah, he's the one who tells me to do stuff.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah.
He commands you. He doesn't do it. I want a secret room in my house. That's what I want. I want a room behind a bookcase.
Mm-hmm.
And I have.
You got a spot to do it?
I do.
They have companies that do it. My buddy knows a guy who that's all he does is make secret little hideouts.
Do you know Ralph Garman? You know Ralph Garman, right? Mm. Yeah, so he's got the bookcase that slides back, and he's got Batman stuff back there, like the expensive collectibles.
Do you think us wanting like safe houses and you want a little secret room, does it just go back to just boys wanting forts?
Yes, absolutely.
100% does.
The obsession.
You want a sliding bookcase. You want a rotating door. You know, yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah, like you, instead of spending all that money, because that whatever you want to do, there's going to be some cash there.
A little bit, maybe.
What if you get a sheet, throw it over your kitchen table, and then get your iPad, get some Uncrustables, and throw that underneath there. And then when you need to get away, you just go underneath the fort.
Yeah.
And just tell everybody, when I'm underneath the kitchen table, nobody talk to me.
I had...
Unless you know the secret password.
Where I grew up, all the houses were built in the 1800s, and they all had front porches. And I basically had a fort under every single person's front porch in my neighborhood. And so I think maybe that's kind of where it goes. Because
now the raccoons took over.
And then also I have a ghillie suit, right? So I got a ghillie suit for some sort of thing that we were doing on the show. And I've been in a ghillie suit. And I got to tell you, it is so much fun being out there in the open and nobody can see you. That is cool.
I haven't thought about this story in 100 years. So, but while you were saying that, I was thinking, they need to make a ghillie suit. I'm going to know. If I walk in your bedroom and I go, why is there a tree on his bed? I know you're on the bed.
Right.
So it's not a thing. So you could make a ghillie suit of messed up
laundry
comforters.
Okay.
But no. So in college, I had...
Like an urban ghillie suit.
I had roommates in college, right? These two girls and these two guys. It was your college when you had two bedrooms and you had six people living in it.
Yep.
And I hated one of the girls, and we were, like, everybody was moving out, and I had all my laundry up on my bed that was a bunk bed.
Right.
Keep in mind, I'm 17, 18. I'm in a bunk bed, right? And I knew her parents and her were coming back into the apartment, but I wasn't done packing or leaving yet.
Right.
And I didn't feel like talking to the parents or them. I jumped onto my bed, and to this day, I sucked my hands through my jean legs. I put as much clothes on me as possible, and then I jumped on the bed, and I just laid there, and you could never tell. And the dad walked in, and I'm holding my breath. Dad walked in. He's like, is this guy gone? And then she's like, no, he's leaving or whatever. And then he goes, yeah, we thought he was coming, but and I'm literally just breathing in all this clothes, and nobody saw me. Suckers. Suckers. I was there. I heard you.
Do you know what it goes back to? Like, for me, and I've told these guys this story when I was a kid, for some reason, I had seen a movie, I think it was called Black Sabbath, there was a witch in the movie, and like an Italian horror movie. And so I would sleep, and I would cover myself completely with the blanket, but I would leave my index finger out because of the in my mind, the witch would come in and staple the blanket down onto the if I had one finger out, I could work the staples.
Get out.
I swear to God. But that whole thing of just being,
it makes
sense. I got a plan. I planned.
So I used to travel with it, not even a sleeping bag, super thin silk.
Like, yeah.
Super thin. And then because I didn't want to lay on hotel mattresses all the time. Then I was in that thing. And then I started going, if somebody came in here, I got to fight my way out of this bag. And then I got to fight this guy.
Yeah.
So then at the time I had my mom, I cut it. And then she put Velcro
right
along the side. Uh-huh. So that way I had easy out. Like, if I'm
like a Chippendales.
If I'm going to throw it on. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like breakaway trainer pants. I could. Yeah.
Dude, I like your thinking.
It's to this day, it's why I never, like, I don't lay around in bed naked. I don't know what's going to, I'm not fighting anybody naked. I'm not running outside if there's an earthquake or fire. I'm fully clothed.
How close are your shoes to
your bed? My Timberland
boots
are maybe a little excessive in bed. Probably.
Do you sleep with shoes on? Do you sleep with slippers? Okay.
I have slippers.
All right. Yeah. And how close are your shoes to your bed?
Right there. It's like a fireman. It's all... Like, I would put a fire pole where I could just jump and then go down and be dressed.
Yeah, Pee Wee Herman had one in Pee Wee's Big Adventure, and I was one of those, too.
How many security cameras in your house?
Currently, I just moved, and I kind of did a hack job setting it up, but there's 4 or 5. That's what's scary about my house is there's no deadbolts, because I'm in the middle of nowhere.
Right, yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is, you know, somebody's coming to get me. They know I live there, and I'm going to be on one of those shows. Why was the back door open? When we come back, a van that's normally not around and dogs barking.
Keith Morrison. Yeah. John Heffron.
Yeah, that commercial to Magnum PI. Yeah. The reverse mortgage is not taking away your house. Yeah.
So,
but no one was laughing the night of August 15th.
So are you have plans to put in deadbolts and all that stuff? You have to, I would imagine, right?
I would have to, but it's one of those towns where, you know, there's nothing goes on here. I'm like, I've seen too many things. That's the first thing people say.
That's what they said in Hiroshima.
They're like things. So I need to, but it costs a lot. Moats are expensive. I'm looking into that.
But they say nothing's going on here, but that means something's going on here.
Well,
right
it
now.
Means the
right
clock now, is ticking on something happening.
Yeah.
Right? That's why, to me, like I
we had drones. We had the guy who I don't know owns a farm. Texted me and goes, hey, is there a drone in your yard? I'm like, is that buzz? My dogs are barking.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I went outside and I saw a drone. Like, it was...
Tactical drone?
I was looking at people's houses.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, right there, kind of like windows you could see.
Did you go get your shotgun?
Well, that's the thing. You can't shoot drones because it's airspace. It's a federal offense.
At what height is it
that's
federal?
Where, like, if I knock it down and it touches the grass, is it, like, football where knees down officially, and then you can shoot it? Right. Or do I have to hide on the top of my roof? Now I got to get a cargo net launcher. This is going to be expensive.
This is getting to be a lot.
This is going to be, I got to train owls. I don't know what I got to do.
You can't train owls. You're too busy. And
then I looked.
They are starting to train birds of prey to take
to attack
out
really?
Drones.
Yeah.
To attack drones. I saw that not long ago.
Well, so
tactical birds? Is
maybe
that what they're
so.
Called?
They're wearing Kevlar helmets.
But I'm wondering if you could set up some sort of a system. Like, if you ever go to, like, a golf course, you'll see they have, like, these really, really thin strings that go over the ponds and stuff there, so the birds don't land on there.
Yeah.
I mean, you could probably set up some tactical strings along your property so that if the drone hits it, it's going to... It's gonna crash.
I've already plotted this out. They have this gun that is it's a couple $1,000, but you can point it at a drone and pull the trigger and it takes over the electronics of the drone.
So
unless it's a military drone. If you're buying it at some
electronic pulse, will it take it down that way?
You can take it and then you just point the guys point it at the drone and then they move the barrel of the gun to the ground and then it lowers the drone to the ground. So I fantasize about that. And then I fantasize about tying it to a stake and hang but just putting it in my front yard and have my two German shepherds sitting next to it.
Right.
And a big sign, you dropped your drone. Just right there.
And we're looking at it. Is this what you're talking about? This is above the screen here in the studio. Drone shield.
That seems practical to have right
now. Ridiculous.
Look at that small thing.
5 selectable frequency bands.
If I have a chance to get the BMX bike or the drone gun, what would you get?
Drone gun.
Yeah.
Drone gun.
Drone shield.
Drone shield.
God.
I'll go in halfsies with you on that.
Or then I can start like a company like Uber for drone guns. And it's like an app where I just show up like Ghostbusters and I point it.
Sure.
And I bring it down.
I mean, like you, what is it? The company that's gets rid of pests, Orkin.
Orkin.
Yeah. You do the same thing here. Yeah. This I love this. God. I have not seen drone gun.
Dude, you're nuts.
I have that. And my other idea for just safety is when I'm in an Uber or Lyft and they say, what are you doing in town?
Right.
I hate that question. I just make up stuff. Right. I just make up jobs and see if I can stay in that made up job for the entire trip.
Right.
Because people ask you
that's
questions.
That's cool. Yeah.
So I'll say I'm a chocolatier.
Yeah.
You know,
love it.
And then they'll be like, what? I go, yeah, I see that building. That's going to be a chocolate factory. And then they're like, that's the high school. Yeah, it's done. It's done. This is the last. They're getting rid of this. But I was in one, and the guy goes, what are you in town for? I go, installation is what I said. Yeah. And then he goes, what are you installing? And I was
chocolate. Thinking,
house. I go, yeah. I go, I own a trapdoor company.
A trapdoor company.
Oh, my God.
And we're putting trapdoors in most of the 7-Elevens in this area. So if they ever get robbed, you just pull a thing in the trapdoor and the guy falls. As it's coming out of my mouth, I'm thinking, why does that not exist?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That should totally be.
This started off as a joke, but now.
Yeah. Mind you, that's a brilliant idea.
You guys are looking at Forbes. It's a picture of me in a trapdoor. My thumbs up. This $1 billion.
God damn, is that a Heffron? Yeah. That's a Heffron 2000.
I'll send you the drone gun. Thanks, guys, for the encouragement. Yeah, have it plaqued up for
you. You have a good mind for some of this stuff. So, you know what? Again, suckers like us would buy it. Look, Mr. Burns has a trapdoor. Who wouldn't want a trapdoor?
Like, in the 80s, you checked your answering machine when you got home. You looked at your phone to see how many people called. Are you telling me people wouldn't be excited to check the trapdoor container every time they got home?
Right.
I love the idea of you playing that game with Lyft drivers, though. You should have, like, a random occupation generator. And the moment you get in the car, hit it and say, okay, now I'm a cowboy hat,
Walker. One time I was in Phoenix. I owned a commercial painting company, and then the guy goes, what do you commercial paint?
Yeah.
And it was in Phoenix, and I said, lighthouses.
He didn't
get that. That would have been a very tough market.
See, whenever I would land and take a cabin in another city, I always said it's great to be home, because I was always worried that they were going to, like, try and take me for a ride.
To rob you.
There's not, a great, not necessarily that, but, like, oh, if I don't. You know, they're going to take me the long way.
Like when people pick me up at my house, I would leave. They go, you going somewhere? I go, no, I was visiting friends at that. Like, listen, if you got a 4.7 rating, you're a little shady. No one deserves to be honest with you.
Yeah.
There's a great scene in the Clint Eastwood movie called Coogan's Bluff where he's in from Arizona and he's in Manhattan. And he says to the cab driver, how many stores in this town named Macy's? And he goes, the guy says, one. He says, how come we passed it twice? And so he knows he's being, that's cool. Yeah. So you always have to keep an eye out for that stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
One time I was, I made up some title that I worked for the government and I did interrogation, but through simple questioning, I can figure out if a person's lying or figure out, I profile people through just normal, if you pay taxes, what their sexual perversion is and stuff. And then, because you don't want the people to keep asking you questions. So you lob out a company or a job and they go, oh, that's interesting. And then they're quiet. You're too interesting. So I said that. I didn't even know. I was just making it up. I'm like, I don't even know if this is a thing. And then he's really quiet. I go, but we don't have to talk about me. Let's talk about you. If you were at a petting zoo, what animal do you think you'd go up to first? And he's like, he's psychoanalyzing me. Something. He's gonna know my porn history. Yeah.
We had a wild cab ride, Preston. The guy who picked us up, we were in California for a radio convention.
Thing.
Right. So we're there, and this guy picks us up, and he just launches into a story. He's talking about him being molested.
Yeah, he was telling us his life story and how he got involved in kiddie porn.
What?
Not producing it. He was one of the stars. And Steve and I are in the backseat going,
what?
Why is this guy opening up to us about this?
Point out the Hollywood sign.
Yeah.
Stuff like,
he's literally.
Within minutes.
For real. It was really weird.
Yeah. This is crazy. But he didn't know all the real estate prices, so that was interesting.
But he wasn't complaining about it.
No!
You know, it is what it is.
It's Hollywood.
You know,
Welcome to
that's life in the big city.
Mm-hmm.
Then you look, hey, what do you guys do? We're FBI. We're tracking down a child porn ring.
Right.
It was effed up.
Thank you for shaving 6 hours off our day. Matter of fact, why don't you get in the back seat? We're going to drive now.
Yeah. Take us to the airport.
Yeah. Wow. Our job is done.
Well, we don't even need to go to the hotel now. Wow. That's hilarious.
Man. You know that'll be a TV like the psychic Uber driver.
Yeah.
It's like a person who's like psychic and they drive for Uber and everyone gets in
the back. That's another good idea.
That person like feels them out, you know.
Do you ever put these shows out and actually try to sell them?
Yeah. Why would I follow through?
That's me.
Why would I follow through?
I'm just an idea guy. I just crank it out.
Yeah.
Psychic cab driver would be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know that already. Yeah. Probably.
It doesn't. Yeah. I mean, we keep up on this stuff. Psychic cab drivers are a winner.
Love that idea.
So then you don't. But then you can't tell them where you have to go.
They already have to guess.
Yeah. And you never. Yeah, they just drive you. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what freaks you out. Like the whole time they look and see the app hasn't been turned on. They're like, "How did you know your phone isn't? No, my phone hasn't worked since 1945.
What?
Psychic cab driver.
The graphic pops up.
Yeah. Oh, somebody gets in. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm just having my first Bumble date in the lady driving. I'm not going to take you there, sweetie. I'm going to take you somewhere else.
Something that'll enrich the soul.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Bumble. Now, are you doing the dating apps?
I did for one. I was like one and out. Ish.
Yeah.
Dating somebody. I was married forever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, at 49, you're like, am I even on this app? Like, I'm too young to be on our time, that dating app.
Yeah, for 60 and above?
Yeah, it's 50. Yeah. It's yeah, 50. So I'm at, like, you know, 49. It just seems like a lot of work. So luckily I met somebody fast and I can be done. So it was one and out. I can't text and it seems like a thing. And it seems pretty,
Is that those Our Time commercials seem a little desperate, don't
I haven't
they?
Seen these Our Time.
Yeah, it's Our Time
people,
now.
It's people 50 and older. I see the commercials.
Okay. It's Our Time. We're teetering on death. We've got to make our move. Our Time.
It's a weird dating app where you have to hand it to your grandkids and then they swipe for you because you don't know where your reading glasses are.
Yeah.
This looks cute, Grandpa.
I thought of another app. Like, you know, I hate talking about the thing, but I have to pay a few months, some cash to a certain person for a little bit, right? Okay. That's just how no fault 50-50 works, right?
All right.
Unless somebody gets married, right? So my best case scenario is this other, you know,
individual
past life person gets married as soon as possible. Then that means that, you know, I'm not on the hook paying every month. I think there should be an app where ex-spouses tries to re-hook up with their ex, you know what I mean? They try to get their ex.
Out.
So that way they just get off your radar. They find somebody new.
You help get your ex married so you don't have to pay alimony.
I would even pay. Even if it's monthly, I'll pay for the monthly fee. If there's boosts or things I got to do within the app purchases to help out, to bring people to then finally get married, it would probably be cheaper for me.
Man, that could be a movie. Because like, if you do that, right, and you get the ex set up, and then what if you fell back in love with your ex-spouse and then you tried to get her back after you set her up with
Nick,
somebody else?
Nick, that's a movie plot.
Already a Love Boat episode.
Really?
Yeah, on MeTV.
Oh, I saw it. Well, they didn't have the apps on the
No, they didn't have apps.
This is a modern telling of the Love Boat episode.
Yeah, well, then, no, trust me. That's when I hope I was in Psychic Uber, where I'm like, yeah, I think I'm going to get back with an ex. And then she just moves a rear view mirror, looks at me, and I just see her shaking her head.
No.
Just not a good idea. And then it cuts a big pan away drone shot where you see a long driveway, her just pulling me up to my scary house. And I just get out, and two dogs run up to me. And then I run into the house, I look outside, and I just give her a wave like, you just saved me. And then I just close my door, and then all the windows, all the armory goes down. And the moat fills in.
And she points over, she says, what's that on the post? Oh, it's a drone.
Yeah.
Fade to black.
And done. Come on, Amazon Prime. That was at least 6 episodes we just did right there. Could have dragged that out.
I love it. You are an idea, man. I have to say, Steve Jobs has nothing on you.
Well, listen, we got to wrap it up, unfortunately. John, listen, while you're in town, if people need to advise you of places to buy, you know, tactical equipment, should they contact you via social media?
Yeah, just go on all that stuff.
Okay, no, you don't do it that way. They should leave it in a box somewhere in a public park.
Oh, yeah,
so you're right. A chalk mark.
A chalk mark.
Yeah.
somebody gives me a nod. Yeah. I see their shoelaces are tied differently. I'm like, you're my guy?
Yeah. John's going to be at Helium tonight, 7:30 and 10. Same thing tomorrow night, and you can get the tickets at heliumcomedy.com. It's always good to see you, man.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here. John Heffron, guys. We're going to take a break. Our friends from Godshall's are here serving up food to us and our guests. Godshall's Turkey Bacon. I can give a six-pack away right now. Caller number 10 at 215-263-WMMR. Check out our new easy-to-read packaging at Acme, ShopRite, Redner's, and Walmart. We'll be back in just a moment.
Ah, springtime is in the air early. As we fantasize of riffs and rock outdoors on the lawn. Get set for MMRBQ 2020, Saturday, May 16th at BB&T Pavilion. Oh,
wow. Disturbed. Show you the
light. Royal Blood. I only lie
when I love you. The Pretty Reckless.
Sublime with Rome. I don't practice Santeria. The best value in rock. 9 bands for just $50. Also appearing,
Puddle of Mud.
Crowbot.
Dirty Honey.
Mongolian Metalheads. The Who.
And Jackson's Local Shots opener, Foxtrot and the Get Down.
Saturday, May 16th, BB&T Pavilion. Tickets on sale tomorrow at 9 a.m. from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Tonight, Brent Porsche will be at Casey's in Drexel Hill, and this is for the Cardboard Classic pre-party with Pacifico. We have several of these that are taking place over the next week or so. And Brent's going to be there from 6 to 8 tonight. And with him will be Calendar Girls Dominique and Carly. And this will be your chance to get registered. Number one, there's going to be Pacifico specials. If you haven't delved into the world of Pacifico beer, get on it.
Yeah, I know. People love it.
There are specials, and you can get registered to win the Pacifico VIP Cardboard Classic Experience. An overnight stay, lift tickets, and VIP access for you and three friends to watch the Cardboard Classic.
Awesome.
So why not swing by there tonight? Say hi to Brent. He's a lot of fun to hang out with, and you might just win, all right? And we've got, like I said, loads of different appearances coming up over the next week or two. So anyhow, join him. So we have a bunch of different prizes that we're going to give away. We have
a lot.
Casey, what's the rundown of prizes that we'll be given in this particular segment?
All right, well, we have pass for, and I love this, the Scoopski Potatoes Tour from Impractical Jokers. We have a handful of those. We have passes for the AC Boat Show that is going on now through March 1st in Atlantic City.
That's a lot of fun, too, to stand in a boat and yell ahoy.
Then we also, we agree to this, right?
Yeah, we're going to give away some of the sorority night passes for next Tuesday at the Flyers game. That's for ladies only to win.
And ladies must bring ladies.
Exactly. It's a sorority event. And we have got Charles Turkey Bacon.
Ooh. Whoa.
And we got a bunch of things to give away. So we need to move things fairly quickly in this segment. So we are going to play a game. Casey, do we have the official intro for it?
It's time once again to play Yes or No. Yes or No. Two answers as old as time itself. A game primal and raw. Simple and to the chase. Two options. Two answers. Big prizes. Or sometimes smaller, less impressive prizes. But always prizes of some sort. And now, for the game that is the perfect out when we really can't think of anything else to do. Yes or No.
You heard the man.
Here's your host, Preston Elliott.
Thank you, Max. I didn't know I was getting the full intro on that. But yes, we are going to play the game Yes or No. It is this simple. You will call. We will match you up with a member of the Preston and Steve show. That member will write down a word. The word will either be yes or the word will either be no. If you pick which one they have correctly chosen, then you win.
Now, some people have a certain logic, a certain way they play this game. And those who've played it for a long time, they get better at it. So, you know, think about your game. Think about your strategy and approach it that way.
Think about the person.
Think about the person
that you're playing with, too.
Yeah. What they might say.
Intrinsically negative or positive.
Glass half full, glass half empty.
Protagonist.
Or detagonist.
Or detagonist.
Antagonist.
Exactly. Yes. Protagonist or detagonist?
God. You got so stuck in the middle of this.
215-263-WMMR. That is the number. And let's see, it's up for you to decide. So who wants to start?
You first. You are the man.
You'd like me to go first?
Your name's first on the show.
All right. And by the way, so did Casey hand these out to you?
No, but that's a great idea. You know what? I was just going to... Thank you, Daddy.
Or you can just write them down. If you, do you have paper over there,
not.
Kathy?
Are these the official yes. play-at-home versions?
This, and then, like, if you play the Game of Runes, it really right. helps to have the pieces.
Yeah. Okay. Casey gave us each piece of paper. One says yes and one says no.
I'll
and
hand so them over to you guys, okay,
I'll,
as we proceed.
I'll hold
you.
It up, and then it, we'll see if the person on the phone line concurs. So, right.
I mean, these are in strict guidelines with the PAA rules.
Right.
So, all right, we're good.
What's the PAA?
It's the Pennsylvania AA rules of okay. yes or no.
Okay, gotcha.
Guidelines? No.
You didn't know that?
The governing body. I did not know that. Let me go to Bruce. Hi, Bruce. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, Bruce. We are playing yes or no. You're going to be playing with me, Preston. And I want you to think about the answer. I am holding up my answer right now for everyone in the studio to see. What's it going to be, Bruce? Yes or no? What's it going to be?
No.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Oh!
It is incorrect.
You were so close.
You were really close if you would have just said guessed yes.
Yes.
Oh, man.
You were right there.
I'm sorry.
But that shows you the logic of the game and the strategy.
Yeah.
We need that clip, by the way, from Paradise by the Dashboard Lights. What's it going to be, boy?
Yeah.
Yes
or no. Let me, come on, everybody, sleep
right.
on.
No, no, you go ahead. Okay. Solo right away. All right, let's go to Allie next. Allie, or is it Ali?
Allie.
Hi, Allie. How you doing?
Hey, good. How are you, Preston?
Good. So we're gonna go around the room here. Yeah. We'll go counterclockwise.
Yes, I think that's where
okay.
to go.
We'll go over here to Casey, who's okay. next to me now. Allie, you've got a decision to make.
Oh,
is he a protagonist or a detagonist?
Or a detagonist. What do you think? Casey's holding one up.
Allie, I've made my decision. Is my decision yes or is my decision no?
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Allie.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you're wrong.
No! You were so no. close.
Casey is holding up a no. Sorry
yeah,
about that, Allie.
Casey.
Sorry. All right, we got to let you go.
You could have played that smarter, Allie, I have to say.
We're 0 for 2 so All right. far. All right, next we're going to go to Benny, who's going to be playing with Steve this morning. Hey, Benny.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Benny. So far, we're 0 for 2. We need you to buck the trend here, okay?
No problem.
Steve, can I see your card? Okay.
All right. My card is in the air for all to see. And I have to ask you, Benny, is my answer yes or no?
It is a clear and concise yes.
Benny. That is correct! Played right. like a master. You're the Bobby Fischer of this game.
Well done. Wah. Casey, what do we have for Benny?
For Benny, we have a six-pack of coupons, good for six full-size packages of Godshall's turkey bacon.
That's fully packed boxes of turkey bacon
Hang
to
on
share
a
with family and friends.
Or to keep for yourself, whatever you decide.
Or hoard them.
Yeah. Or give to your favorite detagonist.
Absolutely.
All right. Congratulations. All right, let's get another caller on the line. This is Kevin, who is going to be playing with Kathy. Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Kevin, this is the easiest game we have. Kathy, are you thinking or are you holding up a...
I've handed Kathy the actual
yes
game pieces.
The home game.
That are
no, I was just going to... The yes or no home game.
Yeah. No, you can't play that because it's too easy to cheat.
Hold one up.
Okay. All right. Kevin?
Yes.
Yes or no?
She just rolled her eyes. Kathy seems to think this game is stupid, which alarms me.
Can't believe we're doing this. But, Kevin, yes or no? Come on, Kevin.
I'm going to say no.
Oh, damn it, Kevin.
No, sorry. It's incorrect.
Not only is Kathy forced to play a game she thinks is dumb, she doesn't play it well.
And my partner lost.
She said, all right, Kevin. And then Kevin said yes. And then he changed his answer to
no. No. All right, let's go to Lauren. Hi there, Lauren.
Hey, Preston.
Hi, Lauren. Okay, you get to play with Nick in yes or no. You've got two choices, Lauren.
Any strategy here, Lauren? Any way you're thinking? Preston said to think about the personality, but we're not sure that that's a key. You have to go with what's in your gut. Okay.
Nick is always so hot and cold. What am I going to guess? Nick McElwain. I'm going to guess no.
All right, well, Lauren, can I just say something before you make your guess?
Yes.
Because you haven't made your guess yet, right?
She did.
She made her guess. No, it would be unfair, Nick.
All right.
You lost. Sorry, Lauren. Incorrect. I know you want to give it away, but listen, we got to be fair to everybody.
I brought my own cards, guys.
All right.
Wait, are those...
They're sanctioned. Okay. Yeah.
No, he's playing with the Canadian deck.
See that? His has an exclamation point.
Yeah, well, that's Canadian.
No, yeah.
Yeah, they use the metric system.
All right, let me go to Jamie. Hi, Jamie.
It's or not eh.
Jamie.
What's going on?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
All right, Jamie, we're playing yes or no. I have one question for you.
What's it going to be, boy? Yes or no?
All right, Jamie.
I'm ready.
All right. What's it going to be?
I'm going to go with yes. Be positive.
He says be positive.
Be positive.
Jamie, you win. I've got a yes! Yeah!
Yeah! Masterfully played, sir!
And what do we have for Jamie, Casey?
Jamie, we have... I'm lightheaded. Oh, my gosh. I think I'm going to pass out. We have... tickets as Preston and Steve present True TV's Impractical Jokers, the Scoopski Potatoes Tour starring the Tenderloins. That's going to be Friday, August 14th at the Man. Tickets are on sale now at WMMR.com for all the details.
All right, I put Jamie on hold. He's good to go. We're going to our next caller for yes or no. This is Allison. Hey, Allison.
Hey, good morning.
You get the pleasure of playing with Casey Boy. Do you think you know what he might have holding up in his hand right now?
Come on, one Delco person to another Delco.
Okay. Is it Delk yes or is it Delk no?
Oh, I really want these tickets. I'm going to say yes.
Where in Delk are you from, Allison?
Prospect Park.
Prospect Park is cheering for you right now, Allison. I said yes!
Trying to figure out what you were going to say.
Yeah, totally.
Prospect Park! Hey!
Go Termites!
Hey.
Wait, did you just say go Termites?
Yeah, that's their mascot.
Are you serious?
Allison, is that not your mascot?
It is.
The Termites?
They don't got a lot going
on. Go Dumbies!
What school?
Well, that's just like when you played the Prospect Park baseball or football team. They're...
The
township. It was the
termites.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, Allison, for you, we have a pair of tickets as Preston and Steve present True TV's Impractical Jokers. The Scoopski Potato Tour. I'm sorry, what are you saying over there?
She says she loves you.
Oh, I love you too. And tickets are on sale now. The show is on Friday, August 14th at the Man.
All right, I got Allison on hold. We're going to go over next to Tom. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you guys doing?
Good, man. All right, you're going to play with Steve, Tom, so... let's get this thing rolling.
My answer is aloft for all to see.
All righty, I'm going to guess yes.
Tom, your answer is correct!
And that means we've got some turkey bacon for you, right, Case?
That's right. A six-pack of coupons. Good for six full-size packages of Godshall's turkey bacon.
You know, it's great, Tom, when unexpected guests drop by, you whip out the turkey bacon and stand back and watch the smiles.
Uh-huh. Let me go next to Katie. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
Hi. So we're going to pair you up with Ms. Romano here.
Hey, who is... admitted to despising this game and having no interest in playing.
We had three winners in a row, though.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Katie. This game is stupid.
Now, remember the morose and sullen person that Kathy is.
Think of my attitude.
Yes.
Right I'm now. Thinking.
All right, and think if I were to say yes or no.
I'm thinking because you have such a negative outlook on the game. I'm thinking no, but I could be wrong.
What are you going to go with? What's your final answer?
No. I'm going with no.
No.
Katie, you're going to see the Impractical Joker.
Yeah! This is a winner. There you go, Katie. Hang on the line.
Well done.
Casey's going to set you up with all that.
Yes, Preston and Steve present the Impractical Jokers Scoopski Potato Tour. Preston, what is Scoopski Potatoes?
It was a bit they did where Joe had to go around in a restaurant and keep putting mashed potatoes on people's plates unexpectedly.
Okay.
And he was going around with his big bowl saying, Scoopski Potatoes! And he'd come over and just slap them on your plate. And you had no idea why this guy was doing that.
Love it.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Chris. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up?
Yo, bud, you're going to play with Nick. What's it going to be, boy?
What's it going to be, boy? Yes or no?
What do you
think? All right, Chris, just remember that I love this game, even though Kathy hates it. I absolutely love it, so I would love to know what your guess is.
All right, so my mind meld with you, Nick, is telling me to go with yes.
Chris, you are
correct!
Yeah! Yeah!
Now we're cooking! And we're going to set Chris up with the exact same prize, Impractical Joker Scoopski Potatoes Tour. And the passes are yours, my man. Congratulations.
All right. Show's on Friday, August 14th. We only have one pair of those Impractical Jokers left.
And Loria wants them, and she's the one I'm going to go to. Hey, Loria, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Loria, you and me, okay?
All right.
I am holding up. I'm holding up a word. And it's either yes or no. If you can guess which one it is, you get the prize. What am I holding up?
You are holding up a no.
Damn, you're good, Loria.
Yeah! You got it! Yeah!
Lori, it was almost on.
It was on. Lori, what was your instinct? What led you to give that correct answer? What were you feeling?
A little bit of tonage there.
The tone. Tonage.
I gave that away. I didn't know.
You were just sopping with tonage.
All right, let's give it to our case.
All right, tonage, Luke. You got a pair of tickets to see Impractical Joker Scoopski Potato Tour.
I thought that was a good one.
It wasn't. Hey, I kept moving along, bro. Broski, Scoopski Potatoes. And that show was August.
Look, it's like it's funny.
Anyway, you won those things. We don't have any more of those left.
Okay. All right, those are gone.
Cisco to the show.
Let's go. Cisco to the show. I'm going to go to Christy. Hi, Christy.
Hey, how are you?
Good. We're playing the stupidest game we have. We're playing yes or no, and you get to play with Casey.
All right, Christy.
Okay, I'm incredibly nervous.
I'm so sorry. Well, I'm going to make this easy on you. I'm not going to cheat like the rest of those guys.
Well, right now, remember, you have a 50-50 shot.
Yes.
Right now, you
okay.
do.
Yeah.
Right.
Casey, you holding up a sign?
I'm holding up a sign. Christy, is the answer yes or no?
Yes.
Oh!
What do we got?
Like a boss!
What do we have for her, Casey?
All right, ladies only, you want a pair of tickets to the Preston Steve Sorority Night at the Flyers game.
Sweet.
This Tuesday, February 25th, Wells Fargo Center. The Flyers face the Sharks as they fight for the playoffs continue. Easy enough for me to say. Great seats are available for the game at PhiladelphiaFlyers.com.
All right. And hang on the line. We'll get your information. We only have time for a couple more. I think it's, let's do one more rotation. Let's do three more. So to finish it off will be Steve, then Kathy, and then Nick. So let me next go to Austin. Hi, Austin.
Hey, what's up?
Yo, bud, we are playing Yes or No. You get the privilege of hooking up with Steve Morrison on this game. Steve, send him the directions, please.
All right. You have to decide whether I have selected yes or no. You've been playing along, I'm sure, listening to the answers, looking for trends, basically your version of card counting in this game. What are you feeling? Is it yes or no, Austin?
I think it's yes.
Austin. Ahoy, matey, you're going to the
Giants! Hang on a second, Austin. Here's what we got for you.
And you want a 4-pack of tickets to the Atlantic City Boat Show, February 26th through March 1st at the Atlantic City Convention Center. Tickets and information at acboatshow.com.
Nice. All right. Next up.
Let's finish strong.
Kathy is Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how's it going,
God Scholes to everyone.
Yes. All right, so Scott, here's Kathy with the setup here. Kath?
Scott, I really want you to win because you've wasted a lot of your morning on this, listening to us and playing this game. So what do you think? I'm going to say yes or no?
I'm guessing yes.
Oh, God.
She says...
No.
Sorry, Scott.
I can't let you cheat.
That was terrible.
I'm gonna let you cheat.
Honestly.
That was just terrible. All right, one last caller, and that is Jen. Hi, Jen, are you there?
Yes, hi. How are you guys?
Wonderful. Jen, you're going to play with Nick McElwain, and you just have to pick a yes or a no. He's holding up a sign right now.
Let's finish strong, Jen.
Leave it in the gym.
Yes, we're going to end it on a positive note and say yes.
Jen, you're coming to the Flyers game!
And that's for the sorority night party in the assembly room next Tuesday against San Jose. It's a pretty sweet deal.
I'm
so
excited.
Yeah, hang on the line. We'll get your information. And remember, ladies only at that particular party.
Yeah, because
so.
We'll be checking.
Well, there you go. We moved. Mission
accomplished.
Honestly,
that's what you want.
We moved a lot of products.
A game that is tense. And entertaining.
Entertaining.
And moving a lot of product.
I don't know,
Kathy
Nick.
Kathy happy.
Entertaining.
Nick, what does the text board say? Is it entertaining, yes or no?
a lot of fans, a few people who align with Kathy, and then some people who I don't think are listening to our show.
No, very good. All right, anyhow, with all that, we need to take a break because we have some more guests coming up as well as the bizarre file. So we will do that very thing. And don't forget, we give away our Word of the Week prize this morning. Your chance to another Flyers package to give away. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Highly suspect. Ozzy Osbourne. Featuring Ashes to New.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
We should do the bizarre file, and then we got a couple of guests we're going to talk to. Let's fire it up.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's bizarre file.
All right, this morning it is brought to you by Jack Frost and Big Boulder Ski Areas. JFPB is open for a winter full of snow and fun. Save big when you purchase lift tickets in advance at jfbb.com. JFPB, where the snow comes first. I'm going to lead with three naked stories.
Yes.
Sometimes they come in clusters.
They do.
And we'll start with this one. On Tuesday, 61-year-old Carl Cimino is accused of entering a California home where the resident reported he was making scrambled eggs and eating flan while completely naked from the waist down.
Man, naked flan is really good.
Mm. Police say Cimino had refused to leave the residence, but they were eventually...
I haven't finished my flan.
...able to move him using a police service dog.
So okay.
Once they whip out the dog and the balls are exposed...
and the dog's jaws are at your ball level.
The whole thing's over with.
If my dog bites your balls? I'll leave.
The residents say, I'll finish my flan later.
Can I get my flan in a to-go cup?
The residents say that there was no damage and they were not hurt. They believe Cimino had entered through an unlocked door. According to jail records, he was free on bail after being arrested January 23rd on a drug-related accusation.
Oh, he's moving from drugs into flan.
Yeah. Daytona Beach, Florida. Police say they found 28-year-old Stefan Short running out of a Save-A-Lot store in DeLand on Friday and that he ran out of the store naked.
Where's the flan?
He had been pinned to the floor by a manager and a civilian. Witnesses report to police that Short had wiggled out of his clothing in an attempt to get away.
That's a wild move.
The store manager reported that Short was a regular shoplifter and that other shoppers reported him stuffing meat in his pants. Officer on the scene saw coupon books and packs of meat scattered on the floor as Short fled. He ultimately attempted to steal four packs of ribeye steaks valued at $41.24.
Interesting. So he's wearing his meat-stealing pants.
Yeah, he had been charged with resisting an officer without violence, resisting a store employee while committing theft and first-degree petty theft. And then your last naked story.
All right.
And I like this one the best. This is out of New Hampshire. The police chief in a New Hampshire town took it literally when he was stripped of his duties at a local board meeting, disrobing to his underwear and walking home into a snowstorm.
There's something sad about that.
Richard Lee had been chief in the small town of Croydon for 20 years, and on Tuesday night, the three-member select board voted to eliminate the one-man department and moved to 100% coverage by the New Hampshire State Police. This was the only cop in town, and so they didn't really need him.
I didn't want to be a cop anyway.
Lee, who was at the meeting, was told to turn in the key to his cruiser, his guns, and his uniform immediately. So he went into an office, and he shared with town officials and took off his clothes before the board chairman. He said, "I gave them my uniform shirt. I gave them my turtleneck. I gave them my ballistic vest. I sat down in the chair, took off my boots, took off my pants, put those in the chair, and put my boots back on, and I walked out the door."
So he was wearing underwear?
He didn't have spare clothes or a ride home. He just had his underwear. He walked nearly a mile before his wife picked him up.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, man. He was upset.
Yeah. Lee said that if he had left it with his gear, he didn't want to face the possibility of being arrested. As he took off his clothes, he said the chairman said that he didn't have to do that, but Lee said that those were the orders.
Go to hell.
Lee said he is discussing what happened with his attorney. Two people are dead after their car went off a cliff and crashed 300 feet below the roadway along Highway 1 south of Big Sur. This was last week.
Big Sur. Beautiful, yeah. But dangerous.
Yeah, the crash reportedly happened around 3:30 a.m. Firefighters found the car ablaze and a subsequent brush fire. But they only later reported it as a crash. Initial reports only indicate one death, but once the fire was under control and the sun had risen, firefighters discovered two burned bodies inside the Camaro. Authorities don't believe drugs or alcohol played a role in the crash. And the story follows just 6 weeks after a car was seen flying off a highway, one cliff on dash cam footage near Devil's Slide and Gray Whale Cove. You guys remember this footage?
Yes.
Did they ever find out why?
No. Neither the car nor its inhabitants were recovered, leaving some to claim online that the video had been faked, though authorities say it was real, and a second witness also came forward. It's just in a real precarious area. There's nowhere to go. There's huge rocks and surf, and you just can't get down, and it's deep.
I think the most valid suggestion is that the vehicle flew into a whale's open mouth.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
Had they considered that?
And then the whale just swam away.
Yeah. And you know what? We'll wrap up the bizarre file there because we have some guests that we are welcoming to the studio this morning. So cool thing happening at the Wings game, which is tomorrow night. It's esports night.
And cool.
There's going to be a tournament featuring Fortnite starting at 5:30. Is this Fortnite music?
Yeah, buddy.
And we'll get the full details because we have a couple of reps here that are going to talk to us about it. First, we want to welcome from Nerd Street, the Director of Business Development. This is Danny Harvath, who is here this morning.
Hey, Danny.
Hey, Danny. Good to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
And our good friend from the Philadelphia Wings, Kevin Crowley.
Hey!
Is here. Nice to see you, man.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
All right, so you guys are playing, Wings are playing Saskatchewan tomorrow.
Yep, 7 p.m. Wells Fargo Center.
Okay, and you guys are currently in first place, right?
Yep, we're in first place. We had a big weekend this past weekend. We were up in Buffalo, got a big win there, and then we busted down to Connecticut and beat a conference opponent, New England Black Wolves, so sitting on top of the division right now.
Nice. Kind of on fire. That's great.
The boys are rolling.
Yeah.
How the crowds like in the games?
Oh, it's been great. It's been a lot of fun. We get to hang out with the fans after the game, and they come up to us like, that's just so much fun. This team has this Philly attitude, this blue-collar attitude that, and we're kind of the underdogs still, even though we're 7-3. And
that works, though. That vibe is a good vibe to have.
It's right where we want to be.
So, Danny, this this tournament that's taking place is going on before the game? How's this working?
Before and during.
Okay.
So you get a ticket to the game. Includes a entry into the tournament. We're going to find out who the best Fortnite player in Philly is. $1,000 on the line.
What time does it start?
So you'll be able to get in normal about an hour before the game.
Okay, because the Flyers have an afternoon game tomorrow, right? So I think they're there 1, and then the Flyers crowd will leave, and then you'll be able to come in for this tournament.
Yep,
okay.
Exactly.
Okay, so with this Fortnite tournament, is this taking place with just people in the building?
Yes.
Okay, so that's how it's working out.
Yep, so in the building we have local host Wells Fargo Center, a permanent esports facility. Localist is our esports facility, and that's where this will be taking place.
Okay. So obviously this one going in a full-blown, self-contained facility, nary yards away, so that's cool. But this is, have you selected the combatants at this point?
No, they're all open to public registrants. So
wow,
all
right.
A ticket and get an entry.
I know for a fact, I mean, the amount of, obviously, this game is super huge, so to discern or to even select who's at the top of the tops, it almost has to be a free-for-all to just let it happen.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, the amount of competitors and the amount of good competitors. So what will the winner eventually take away?
$1,000 is on the line.
All right.
And a chance to meet not one, but two llamas.
Oh, really?
Two llamas.
Okay.
I don't know what that means. Is that video game code or something?
There's llamas in the game.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you. Two llamas, though, Preston. You're not just getting a one llama meme.
It's a double llama day. Yeah. Hey.
Double llama ding dong.
$25 to enter. All right. How many? Are you guys capping a number as combatants go? No cap.
Okay.
All right.
If the line, you know, circles around the stadium, we'll cap it. But until then, no cap.
Well, it very well might. I mean, because it's huge. You know, obviously, Fortnite and the games that are played this way. Does anything exceed Fortnite at this point?
So there's, I mean, there's a...
Overwatch?
So there's a bunch of really big games. Fortnite is near the top.
Yeah.
League of Legends, Dota 2, Call of Duty, Overwatch... Counter-Strike, those are the...
I'm a Call of Duty dude. Love it.
So Call of Duty, if I'm correct, is they're in March. They're basically opening a very Fortnite-esque sort of platform, are they not?
They just launched.
Okay.
A couple weeks ago. Okay. Yeah, the Call of Duty League. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this is... It's amazing. For people who are not familiar with this world, and some are peripherally, they don't... This is a whole other level where the... I mean, $1,000 is great, and then you go to like major tournaments. If you are a major competitor, you're talking hundreds of thousands, and you know, even seven figures. You know, it's crazy. So it's cool to have this happening here.
Yeah, the Call of Duty League. These are, you know, players with full time contracts.
Yeah,
playing full time on teams in a, you know, professional league.
You any good at it, Danny?
I'm okay at Call of Duty. Yeah. I'm pretty good at NBA 2K.
Oh, Kevin, you have a seven-figure deal, right? With the
Oh, man, that just kills me to hear that. That's why I've never got into Fortnite either. It's like, how can I join now when I'm like 6-7 years behind the ball and like I'm going to go out there and just get lit up? And
my 6-year-old nephew is, I mean, he's really good at it. And like... It's not just shooting people and picking people off. It's building and all that sort of stuff. And the second he sees a bullet whiz by his head, he's building this structure around him. And
life skills.
Yeah.
I mean, there are multiple strategies involved in this game. For me, it's a little too much where the Call of Duty dynamic works more for me. It's more realistic, Preston. It's more like the battle we faced over there. In Nam. It's an amazing game. Also, it is seductive to watch it, too, to see people who play well do what they do. It is amazing.
Wait, you said six playing Fortnite? Is that okay? I'm sorry, I'm getting into like the... It is? I thought you told me no, don't let Jace play.
Only because...
You care more about Jace than your nephew?
No. I don't know if I said don't.
You did. I asked you specifically.
He wants to win.
You shook your head no.
It's less competition.
Because it then becomes a thing that they always want to do.
So not because of the violent nature of it?
No.
No,
it's video games.
Violence is great for kids.
Yeah.
There's no blood in Fortnite, right?
No.
Okay.
Nope. But there's blood in lacrosse, right, Kev?
Yeah.
Bring this back here.
Yeah, so I was fortunate enough to be at the game where you scored your 300th goal, which is really, really cool. And not only that, but you're also one of the leaders in assists, goals, and you're second in the league in points altogether, correct?
Yeah, and that guy tried to check you, and you built a virtual wall between you and him. It was amazing.
That's what I'm going to use tomorrow night. It's been a great season. Our team's, you know, from our goaltender out, we've vastly improved since last year. So it's a fun time to be a Philadelphia Wing and a Wings fan.
Yeah. Do you game at all? Do you play?
No.
Nothing at all?
It's probably the best that I don't get a console or anything because I probably stop practicing lacrosse or training for it or whatever. I tend to get
You know what? You got gamers on the team, though? There has to be.
Yeah, no one who, like, there's no, like, pocket of players that talk about it every weekend, though, so.
I don't think there's any, is there a lacrosse video? I mean, like, FIFA's huge, but it's soccer.
They've tried to do smaller video games. Nothing's ever really taken off.
Right.
Not yet.
Yes, until you become the endorser for the game, and then we're good to go.
Danny, how does somebody, like Nerd Street, you guys also offer up, like, workshops and things like that for people who want to get into esports. What all is available and how do people find out information about that?
Yes, so we operate esports facilities and tournaments, sort of your Hockeyplex, Soccerplex of esports, that's local host, and then your AAU Pop Warner of esports, your pathway to the pros. If you see the Overwatch League on ESPN and say, how do I get there? We run these amateur tournaments for you to get your first taste of competitive gaming. So you can go to nsg.gg, our website, localhost.gg. and find links to these to this ticket tomorrow, as well as some of the other tournaments and facilities we run all around the country.
And do you absolutely, for this tomorrow night, you need to register in advance, or can you do it at the door when you get there, or is that going to be a little more complicated?
You can do it at the door, but if it fills up, we hope people register in advance in case it fills up.
Yeah, yeah.
You definitely might have to put a cap on it, but exactly. I think you're going to have a really healthy turnout.
Yeah, you know, yeah, we did this last year, and it was overwhelming.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah. It's only $25, so chances are, even if you don't really know what Fortnite is, somebody around you does and might be interested in getting on board. Maybe you can get a share of the money just for letting them know about it. That could happen. But there's going to be various e-sport-themed activations throughout the game, by the way. So it'll be the theme of the game that night, right?
Yep.
So that's tomorrow. And you guys feel pretty good about your matchup?
Yeah, it's going to be – they're the Saskatchewan's the best team in the West, so it's kind of a good measuring stick for, you know, cross the divisions and, you know, hopefully pull another W out.
Now, how many cross divisions do you games you guys usually play in the regular season? Just a handful of them?
Yeah, I mean, our conference itself is like four teams, so there's 13 teams overall. 13 or 15. Oh, no. I don't know. That's all right. Doesn't matter. It's all about us.
As long as you win.
Yeah.
As long as
you win tomorrow night.
Yeah. Nice. Excellent. All right. Well, you know, get the information. Go check it out. The Wings games are so much fun. We've said that for ages. For one reason or another, it's escaped you and you've never gone to professional indoor lacrosse. It's a blast. The game keeps moving. It's fast-paced. There's music. There's action. They keep the crowd entertained. It's a really cool thing. We've loved going for years. And you guys are killing it at Nerd Street with all this stuff. So
thank you.
Good luck with this tomorrow night. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Danny and Sarah Form. Kevin, thank you guys for being here. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a second. Stay close.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
It's crazy.
It's going to be a beautiful weekend.
This, you know, this is going to be a super low snowfall winter, they're saying. Everybody's saying so.
Yeah, in fact, it's the warmest. It was the warmest January on Earth in recorded history.
Yeah,
so it's I
be careful. You just jinx us. We're gonna get a blizzard next.
I know. I'm like Kathy. I've been like this close to saying it's not going to happen this year.
Yeah, just.
But
I know. For people, as we said before, people who make who rely on some extra snow shoveling money and everything, whatever it breaks, and would love to see you do well, but. I'm not mad at this. I'll say that.
My brother lives in Colorado. He lives outside of Denver now, and he works in landscaping. He is exhausted from plowing because he's been out almost. And they started off not that strong of a winter, but the last month, 6 weeks, they've just gotten deluged with snow.
Well, to that I say, ha ha.
I have a question, and you guys probably don't know the answer to this, but would you recommend, even if we don't get any snow, that
still plow?
Well, no. That I do put some gas in my my snowblower and run it for a little bit so that it's not. You know what I mean?
Know. Okay. You.
I know somebody who might know.
Yes.
We know
a snowplow expert.
Give me his number.
Yeah. In fact, maybe you could meet after for lunch today, Kate.
He'll tell you what to do.
Go on some roller coaster rides and then talk snowboards.
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that.
He has huge sunglasses.
But you can probably look it up online.
Okay.
We're going to do today's lesson question, and we are going to give away a 4-pack of tickets for the Atlantic City Boat Show for the correct answer to this.
Do you have an appearance coming up anytime soon?
Actually, I'll be at the fishing show tomorrow, Kathy.
100%.
Funny you should ask.
Fishing is just like snow plowing.
Here's the question. Surprisingly, where do they keep Rasputin's penis? 215-263-WMMR. It's in formaldehyde somewhere. Not in Russia.
No.
Surprisingly, we found out where they may keep Rasputin's penis. It was said very quickly this morning. 215-263-WMMR. Call now if you know the answer, and we'll do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And this morning, it is brought to you by Godshall's Turkey Bacon. Yeah, 80% less fat than pork bacon, but 100% of the taste. Available at Acme, ShopRite, Redner's, Walmart, and Sam's Club. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Fox announcing that So You Think You Can Dance is coming back for a 17th season. Host Kat Dealey says this time the show will attempt to do something it has never done before, provide even the tiniest bit of entertainment.
Hey!
Super hot Riverdale actress Madeline Petch and her boyfriend of 3 years, Travis Mills, have broken up. Mills revealed he'd grown tired of having a constant raging boner.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Cy Sperling, the founder and president of the Hair Club for Men, has died in Boca Raton at the age of 78. Of his legacy, Sperling once said, quote, "I restored confidence to many men simply by hot gluing a shower mat to their heads." And that's your Hollywood trash.
All right. Thank you very much, Steve. Before we go for the answer, I found the picture. A picture of Rasputin's penis. Casey, just to give you an idea of
no
the size.
No way.
I'm telling you, man.
Stop it.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Look at that. Yeah. I mean, massive.
That's too big.
So it that would hurt.
Yeah.
215-263-WMMR. Where do they keep the Rasputin's penis? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer to that. All right. I'll go to Joe. Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing fantastic.
Excellent.
You guys rock my world.
Oh, thank you, man. Rock our world and tell us where they keep, surprisingly, Rasputin's penis.
The planet Earth.
Close. Can you be more specific?
Can you give me a clue?
No. Thank you for calling. The planet Earth. No, and it looks like I don't have anybody else.
It was uttered quickly.
Who has an answer for you? But Casey, Ted knows what to do with your snowblower. So let me go to Ted. Hey, Ted. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. Hey, Ted. So why don't you tell Casey about what to do with the snowblower while we're waiting for somebody to tell us where they keep Rasputin's penis?
Okay. with the new ethanol gas that they have out now, it kind of messes up your gaskets inside the carburetor. So you should run your snowblower dry, and they make this gas you can buy in a can that you add into your gasoline once you're empty, and then let that run for a few minutes, and you'll be able to let your snowblower sit all summer long.
Yeah, I have a can of that gas, the stuff that you add for my lawnmower, not snowblower, but
it's a boost, right?
Yeah, and so you just put it in there. I put it in the end of the fall.
It's not a boost; it's regular gas. It's
okay.
Well, they taste the same.
Mm. Tastes like Boost.
It's like our old style gas that we used to get back in like the 70s.
Oh,
I love that
old
70s gas.
Let it gas.
All right, Ted, thanks for killing time for us while we wait for the answer to where do they keep Rasputin's penis. Thank you very much.
No clue to that.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to Tim and see if he knows the answer.
There's just words up here.
Hey, Tim, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Tim, where do they keep Rasputin's penis, please, sir?
I'm going to butcher it, but was it the Stigato?
Stigato?
He's close.
No, we got to let it go.
Stigato was a great prehistoric creature.
let me go to put line six on hold. Yeah, I'll go to, I'm going to go to Sean. Hey, Sean. Sean!
Oh, this is Ron.
Oh, God damn it.
Hi, Ron. How you doing?
Good.
Ron, amaze us. Tell us where, surprisingly, they keep Rasputin's penis.
The Mutter's Museum.
No.
Oh, man.
What the hell is going on here? Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Let me go. Now, this might be Sean. Let me try this. Hi, Sean. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Preston. What's up?
All right, Sean, give me the goddamn answer. What is it?
The Stoogium,
or whatever you want to call it. And it's not the Mother's Museum. It's the
And it's not Ron.
It's Sean.
And it's not England.
Listen, they had to go through this stuff quickly. I got it. We're kind of ragging on our interns a little bit, or at least I am. But Sean, you got it right. And for getting that right, we are going to give you a four-pack of tickets to the Atlantic City Boat Show, February 26th through March 1st, the Atlantic City Convention Center. And tickets and information are available at acboatshow.com.
It's going to be cool because they have a guy wandering around in a huge Staccato costume.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Can't wait. All right, here we go.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Brought to you by Pacifico Beer. Stop by Preston and Steve.
Sure.
I got some spittle on the microphone. Stop by Preston and Steve Cardboard. I think it was a little bit of turkey bacon. Cardboard Classic Pacifico Pre-Party. Chance to win prizes. Hang with the MM Army, Calendar Girls, and an MMR personality. Details on WMMR, WMMR.com. And there is one tonight with Brent Porsche.
It's right here.
Who is going to be at Casey's in Drexel Hill.
Oh.
And that is from 6 to 8. So stop by because Calendar Girls Dominique and Carly are going to be there as well. And you might win that prize. All right. Ozzy Osbourne's first solo album in a decade, Ordinary Man, finally arrives today. The legendary singer celebrated the release of his first solo effort since 2010's Scream by sharing a fourth song on the disc called It's a Raid, which features a second collaboration with Post Malone.
Honestly, I think they work well together.
The two previously made the joint appearance on the track Take What You Want, which closes out Ordinary Man and also appears on Post Malone's recent Hollywood's Bleeding LP. Ozzy worked on Ordinary Man with Post Malone producer Andrew Watt, who also played guitar.
Post Malone is an interesting guy. I dismissed him initially, and now I realize he's much more talented than I had thought.
I'm the same way. There's some songs I'm like, all right, that's it's a good tune.
And so bizarre. Nothing like matches his look to his music. His music.
Wipe that crap off your face.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. You can't.
You can't.
You go up with your thumb and you lick it and go, you got a little something.
You got a little something there.
You got 9 miles of writing on your face.
Mm. Foo Fighters took to Twitter yesterday to mark the 25th anniversary of the band's very first show, sharing a photo from the 1995 Keg Party gig at the Marine Store in Seattle.
Sick.
A caption accompanying the picture said, "There's a moment in every band's history when you decide it's time to load the gear out of the practice space and bring the music to the people for the first time, and this was ours 25 years ago today." A follow-up post, presumably from Dave Grohl, added, "25 years later, the fear and stage fright may have faded, but the love of making music with my friends is stronger than ever. Happy anniversary, fellas." They'll continue, by the way, their 25th anniversary festivities with a North American tour, on which the band will hit some of the same cities it visited during its first trek back in 1995.
That's kind of fun.
The 2020 Van Tour will launch on April 12th in Phoenix and may possibly hit some small venues like the ones the band played a quarter of a century ago. Man, J.C. Dobbs isn't around anymore, is it?
Nope. No.
Oh, because you know they'd go there, probably. I'm sure they played there. I don't know. Marissa said,
I mean, it's not a working venue, but it's there.
Yeah.
Open it up. We could dust it off and open it up.
I'm assuming they played there.
Would
I don't
they play
know.
Panera?
I don't know. All right.
They played there, right? Where? Trock. The Trock.
Oh, the Trock. Well, they could do that.
Yeah.
No, they can't.
It's also there,
the
but Trock's not
closed
there.
Is there.
Man.
Anyway.
The TLA's there.
How about this? How does one of the biggest rock bands in the world celebrate hitting number one on the Billboard charts and their lead singer's birthday in the same week?
How do they?
They went bowling in Lancaster, PA, followed by karaoke up the street. All three members of Green Day, plus their producer Butch Walker and others, hit the lanes at Decades Lancaster, and then strolled up the block to the Belvedere Inn for karaoke on Wednesday night.
You must be one of those rock stars.
In a group photo snapped at the bowling alley, Billy Joe Armstrong is wearing a hoodie from Rock Lititz, which is a nearby rehearsal studio where bands go to create their road shows, lighting, sound, and staging.
That's right. That's the place.
And everyone from U2 to Paul McCartney and the Stones have employed the company to design their tour production. With a hella mega tour on tap this summer, it's pretty obvious why the boys are spending time in Amish country. And I believe that when Muse was coming through town and they were talking about the drone stuff, didn't we get a guy that called us from there?
He works there, yeah, and told us about the whole operation.
It was either that or the Chili Pepper show. It might have been the Chili Pepper show. They had all these wild lights.
Well, and Metallica. Did that outdoor show at the Link, and they used this company in Lititz as well.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. So they're the go-to, and I think one of the guys emailed me like I think it was Chad Smith's light up drum kit that they put together there. Yeah, so they it's pretty wild stuff, and it's not too far from here.
I would love to see that facility.
The biggest of the bigs do it there. Video highlights from the karaoke bar from Instagram user Liz Franzen's account show Billy. Billy Joe belting out Ziggy Stardust, Trey Cool cheering on Butch as he serenades a bar goer with Sweet Child of Mine, and a sexy Rolling Stones review, and Trey getting down with Sarah Smile by Hall & Oates. Later in the day, Trey Cool confirmed the assumptions with a post reading, "Thank you, Pennsylvania. What a great week of Hella Mega Tour pre-production. We had a blast in Amish and Mennonite country. This place is America's best kept secret until now." And then the photos attached to the post showed the band and their families cheering Billy Joe as he cracked open a unicorn pinata, farmland, and a Hershey gravestone. Of course, Trey tagged the location, which was Intercourse, PA.
So they went gray robbing?
No, I don't think they did that.
They also have that wolf sanctuary in Lititz. You can go see the wolves.
Oh, I want to go there.
By the way, Casey, you share this with Papa Roach singer Jacoby Shaddix.
He
celebrated his 8th year of sobriety on Wednesday. Yours was on Thursday.
Thursday, yeah. Ah, he's got one more day than me.
The band posted a video of Shaddix and drummer Tony Palermo marking the occasion by hitting the smallest bar in the world in Milan, Italy, and enjoying a mocktail. Shaddix toast to happiness and health.
Mocktail.
While telling the bartender, "No alcohol for 8 years, me, and I'm coming to celebrate to have a fake cocktail."
I do like some mocktails, depending on what the type of drink is, that provides me an option.
8 years ago, as the band was working on his 2012 album, The Connection, Shaddix hit rock bottom. He had been battling his addictions for a decade, cleaning up, and then relapsing over and over. After the near disillusion of his marriage and a battle with suicidal depression, he finally got sober once and for all.
That's great.
8 years. Let me see here. How about this? Slipknot is launching the first ever Knotfest at Sea. The inaugural cruise event spun off of the festival that the Iowa-based band first launched in 2012. Cruise set sail from Barcelona.
Barcelona.
That'll be August 10th and heads to Naples, Italy, returning to port on August 14th. In addition to two headlining sets from Slipknot, the Voyage's lineup will feature Anthrax, Behemoth, Devil Driver, Seven Dust, Skindred,
awesome,
Higher Power, and Sleep Token, with more to be announced. So there'll
butt
be a
munch.
There'll be a live Q&A with members of Slipknot, a DJ set, a whiskey tasting and discussion, a drum workshop, signings, and a bass clinic as well, all with members of Slipknot, which is kind of cool.
And arts and crafts from Floral and Hardy.
Yeah, balloons for the kids. And then one last thing. Bon Jovi has posted its latest single called Limitless online and announced the release date of its latest album, Bon Jovi 2020, for May 15th. It's reported the band also posted the cover art and track list of the new set, which features a photo of John Bon Jovi with the American flag reflected in his sunglasses. John will welcome Britain's Prince Harry to a special recording session.
Harry?
On February 28th at London's Abbey Road Studios.
Wow.
Where Harry will join the Invictus Games Choir to re-record Bon Jovi's new song Unbroken,
Harry!
Which salutes disabled soldiers.
Wow.
The recording will raise funds and awareness of the Invictus Games Foundation. Prince Harry posted a fake conversation between him and Bon Jovi discussing the upcoming recording session, by the way. So Prince Harry, I don't know if Prince Harry's going to sing or not, or what's going on. And that is what I have for you in music news this morning. I still got a little bit of turkey bacon left.
Turkey bacon.
And I want to give it away. Caller number 10 got a six-pack of coupons, good for six full-size packages of God Scholl's turkey bacon. The turkey bacon, pork bacon consumers prefer because you love them and they love bacon. 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. We'll come back, wrap it up, give away our Word of the Week prize. Stay with us.
Yes, yes, yes. We saved a couple seats at the Preston and Steve Sorority Night at the Flyers game just for podcasters. If you would like to enter to win those tickets, email your name, age, and phone number to podcast@WMMR.com. Remember, this is ladies only. Good luck.
New Daily Rush video is up today, and I don't remember this. It said, the title says, Preston loses it. It said, it may not sound like it, but in this clip, but he's a professional broadcaster. I think I kept making mistakes, maybe.
I don't remember.
That's what I love about these Daily Rush videos, is we are the ones who executed these things, and we don't remember what they are until we go back and watch them. And then you're like, oh, yeah, that's right.
They live on. All of our mistakes live on.
You can watch this now at PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly Comedy Club Restaurant and Bar. That's the beauty of having our own video department and Nick Murphy. We don't make the decisions on what stuff ends up in these daily. He just does them.
Whatever he wants.
And then they bring me this little info sheet that says what's on it. I'm like, okay, I guess we got a new video. Glad you made a video out of it. Every now and then I can say, hey, you know, the Steve did an On Golden Pond thing yesterday. Any chance you could make that into a Daily Rush video, which I hope they do, because that was great yesterday.
Apparently in this one where you said Claude instead of cold.
During a commercial.
You just started beating yourself up.
And, that was a Steven Singer commercial, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. That was Nuv.
Yeah, Nuv. That was Nuv. Nuv knew.
You said Claude, and then we laughed.
Cold was Claude.
We laughed at you saying Claude, and then the very next sentence, after we made fun of you for a little bit, the very, very next sentence, you messed up another word.
Okay.
And I think I went off on that.
Yeah. All right, I got to go back and watch that. All right, well, it's available now. Nick is playing it, and I'm seeing all kinds of words pop up on the video in quotations, so I don't know what all was going on there. So you can watch that at PrestonandSteve.com. Check the Daily Rush videos.
We create our own language as we proceed throughout the morning.
No, this is true. I want to thank our guest, John Heffron.
That was funny, man.
John is at Helium Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow, 7:30 and 10 p.m. Tickets at heliumcomedy.com. And also thank you to Kevin Crowley, your Philadelphia Wings, and Danny Harvith from Nerd Street.
Yes.
Esports night is tomorrow night. The Wings are playing Saskatchewan. There is going to be an esports tournament taking place in Fortnite beginning at 5:30. It goes through halftime of the game. And there's a $1,000 prize pot that you could win. The entry fee is $25. And there's going to be various stuff going on through the course of the game that has to do with esports activations and stuff like that. So it's a whole big theme.
Yeah. It's only getting bigger.
Tomorrow night's game. Thank you to Godshall's Turkey Bacon feeding us this morning. Godshall's.com for their awesome turkey bacon. We appreciate that. Pierre Robert has sauntered into the studio getting ready for a big day. You're sauntering?
I'm sauntering.
Yeah, nice to see you, man.
My new band.
Sauntering.
Sauntering.
Oh, I like it. What do you play in sauntering?
Flugnoing.
A flugnoing?
Yeah.
It's a European instrument.
Oh, yeah.
The flugnoing.
Yeah, flugnoing. Oh, yeah. It's a string. It's very, very complicated.
Yeah. String instrument you blow into.
Yeah. Right. That's why it's so complicated.
There's also keyboards on it, though, too.
Wow. Yeah.
And the keys are all loose. It's got a horn, too, to it. My but goodness. It's a very complicated. It takes
keys, a horn, strings, and a mouthpiece.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It takes a genius to do it. And I am
a floor joint.
Well, I'm a very stable genius.
It's a cross between a didgeridoo and a harpsichord.
That's it. Uh-huh. There it is.
Beautiful. How you doing today?
I am fantastic.
Excellent. Excellent. Nice sunny day today.
It's sunny.
Warming up the next couple days.
Yeah. Did I hear you say 50 over the weekend?
Yeah. 50 tomorrow, 55 on Sunday, 57 on Monday.
I think Kathy's right, though, as we shouldn't say.
Yeah, just be careful.
That the bee is in blizzard is not coming, because you just never know.
I mean, the general consent, I mean, we're coming to the end of February. Now, we've had storms all the way well into April.
Yes.
But the general outlook seems to indicate not much in the way of
precipitation.
Stormage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll see. Well, you never know.
This is true, although March can be a brutal month of just cold, because March is just like when you've had snow, and sometimes March is just like, come on, March, come on, come on now.
In like a lamb out like a floorboard.
Something like that. Well, and then there is the Punxsutawney Phil issue.
Little rat.
He saw his thing, and then he...
He might be right this year.
But his thing is always there.
Way right. Yeah. But what did he see, or did he see his shadow?
Yeah, so more in early spring. Yeah. It was the prediction this year.
So there we go.
All right, why don't we do the letter of the day? Phone lines are already lighting up. You ready? Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter
O, as in orange.
All right, that's not even a word.
Not even a word.
Caller 7, you get to take a shot at the word of the week. So let's get that caller on the line, 215-263-WMMR, and we'll do our best to give away an awesome prize. Do you have an awesome show planned for today?
It is capital A awesome.
Yeah, nice.
We've got tickets for the Black Crowes, one more pair, for the big summer show July 14th over in Camden. And everyone who's won tickets this week is eligible for the sold-out acoustic show, which is tonight upstairs at the Fillmore.
That's going to be very cool.
At the Foundry, yeah.
Are you going?
I am going to go. Yeah. Brent Porsche is going to go, and the Fightin' Robinson brothers will be on stage, Rich and Chris, and they're doing an acoustic set. So it's an early show. I think it's around 8:30, but it sold out instantly, as you might well imagine.
Of course, yeah. It's been a long time coming. In fact, many thought it would never happen.
I think they fired the rest of the band, though. So I think they're calling it the Black Crowes, but I think they're the only two that are black and crows.
Okay.
They're
not even black.
Yeah, I know. They're not even black.
But, I don't think they're crows either, to be honest with you.
No, they are. They're technically, genetically, there's enough matter in there. Avian matter to consider them crows.
They did medical testing.
I didn't know that. I take back my statement.
Yeah, they submitted to DNA testing sometime ago.
23 and Crow.
Gotcha. Yeah. It's a very good website. I'm part eagle.
Right. Yeah. You can tell by your eyesight.
Part nighthawk.
Well, and as Steve once said, when I didn't have my glasses, Pierre has the eyes of a falcon.
Uh-huh.
I'll never forget that line. I didn't have my glasses on. I'm holding the sheet of what I had going like a foot and a half away. And with his usual brilliance and his laser beam, and I'm just going, he goes, Pierre has the eyes of a falcon. And I'm going, God. That's so brilliant and so hysterical and so accurate.
Well, they always say that a falcon can read a headline on the newspaper from a mile away, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what you were doing.
And speaking of headlines, we'll have a block of the Black Crowes. We'll have a block of the Eagles. There'll be no Falcon block, but there will be a Soul Asylum block. Soul Asylum's also in town playing at the TLA tonight. And they've got so many great songs.
That's cool.
So it'll be fun.
Excellent. Hey, real quick, I want to say congratulations to Sandra, who is in our studio. She's on maternity leave, so she must be a new mom. So congratulations.
It's her last day.
Sandra Wilson, today's her last day of maternity leave.
She's celebrating her last day of maternity leave by being here with us, which is cool.
Load up on the turkey bacon. Go for it.
Yeah.
She'll be sobbing by Monday.
Yeah. Mm. All right. We need to get a winner. Caller number 7 is who we're going to, and that's Carl. Hey, Carl.
Hey, how's it going? Gadzooks.
Carl, do me a favor. Tell me what the word of the week is.
Yo.
Great day in the morning.
Hey, yo.
All right, Carl. Yeah. For you, my friend, we got a pair of lower-level tickets. Here, Flyers game on April 2nd nice. Against the Predators. All right, my man?
Woo! Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, hang on. We'll get your information. And don't forget, you can get great seats. They are available for this game and other big upcoming matchups at PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. Don't forget, we'll have our sorority night next Tuesday.
Exciting.
So more chances to win those next week. Thank you to the sponsors of the Preston and Steve Show. Our program has been brought to you today by Acme Fresh Foods, Local Flavors, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Jack Frost and Big Boulder Ski Areas, where the snow comes first. And Pacifico Beer, the Cerveza of the Slopes, this year's proud sponsor of the Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic 2020.
Excited to have them on board.
Speaking of that, Brent Porsche is doing an appearance tonight for one of the pre-parties with Pacifico. Join him at Casey's in Drexel Hill from 6 to 8 p.m.
Speaking of Casey, I will be at the fishing show tomorrow at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks. I will be there from noon to 2. Come hang out with me and...
snowblower tips.
Yes, please do. Please do that. If you have any tips on snowblowing or, you know, where to get a good roller coaster ride, please come and find me at the fishing show.
Hey, yo.
All right, we'll make sure we do that. Next week on the program should be some good stuff. We're going to have director Gavin O'Connor. He directed the movie The Way Back, the Ben Affleck film.
Wow.
This is amazing.
Yeah. Also, actress Anya Taylor-Joy.
I love her.
She was a breakout star in the M. Night Shyamalan film Split. She was the star of the movie besides James McAvoy.
Yes, and she's also in a cult movie that I love called The Witch.
So she'll be in. That's really cool. Looking forward to meeting her. And comedian Ivan Decker will be stopping by, and I'm sure we'll add a bunch of other stuff to that list as we get ready for next week. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great weekend. Be safe. And we'll see you later. Oh, and my band plays tomorrow night at J.T. Brewski's. Saint at J.T. Brewski's in Delco. Ray John, have a great weekend. We'll see you later, gang. Bye-bye.
Yeah! The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
I mean, what is the deal with the weeks taking so long? I want to know. TGIF, right?
Craig.
Next message.
Happy birthday, Craig. Manja.
Next message.
You dumb bastard. The pedal on the right is your accelerator. That's the one that makes you go, people. If you do not start punching these things on the right and moving your asses in the morning, I am going to cause some serious hell because I am the god of hellfire.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.